Confused. So I told Ma her sonny felt real funny, and my mama, she wasn't amused. So I laid out the truth of the matter, and she cried for a minute or two. Then she said, son, wear dresses that flatter, and your mama will always love you, for it was God who made you a drag queen. He must have smiled on the day you were born. So son, lip sync and Ave Maria. He has blessed every dress you have worn. Now my mama, she's gone to her glory, and though I'll miss her for the rest of my life, the dresses she left me tell the story of how she wanted her son to feel fabulous. For it was God who made you a drag queen. He must have smiled on the day you were born. So let's lip sync an Ave Maria. Oh mama, God bless every dress you have worn. Now I've seen how they've treated my sisters, who get trashed 'cause they're bashed where they want. I cry, mama, my soul is in blisters. Now I'm fighting with bullets, not talk. Now you thank God he made me a drag queen. Keeping watch over his flock day and night. You must lip sync an Ave Maria and put up a fabulous fight. Now you thank God he made me a drag queen. Keeping watch over his flock day and night.
Warning, the following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as deserving the same rights, responsibilities, privileges, and power as all other people of the world.
Topics like this are known to piss off a lot of people, like several members of the Congress and our state legislature, backwater preachers and televangelists, blue-haired biddies, a good portion of the state of Utah, those talking heads over on the AM dial, and other socially unacceptable right-wing nutjobs that think teabagging just means dangling a Lipton from your tri-corner hat.
Listener discretion is strongly advised, and if not...
Write me, bitch.
I love to be queer. I love to be queer.
You have tuned into After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, here on KPFT Houston. For over 25 years, we have brought you a different look at the news, interviews, music, events, and entertainment that affects the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community, as well as our allies in Houston and around the world.
We're a diverse group, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and proud of who we are. We urge everyone to come out of whatever closet they are in and join us, showing your pride in self and community.
We understand that for many, this may not be possible due to age, family, school, work, faith, or just not being ready to come out yet. It is for those who cannot come out yet that we are especially here for.
So sit back and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours, because we are out of the closet and on the air.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, Livingston, the world. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude for January 4th, 2014.
That works.
Yeah.
I can't see the calendar.
It is the
1414.
Yeah, I can see. My name is Chris Harris. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Wes Laverne. I'm the other guy.
And I'm what's her name, Judy. And actually, y'all are hearing us, so I think I'm doing fairly well.
Yeah, because she's, again, sitting over there learning.
Well, not very fast, but I'm here.
I took the role of newspaper away from Wes, so it might be easier.
And I appreciate it.
So. You forgot the other one.
Oh, yeah.
I still got a second rolled up newspaper over here.
Yeah.
That's okay. I have protection.
I thought you were just happy to see us.
Oh,
by the way, nice to see you dressed for the occasion.
Excuse me?
Did you go to a pajama party first?
No, this is what I wore all day.
This is his couch outfit.
Exactly.
He's not a couch potato. He's a couch plaid. Ew. That's okay.
Hey, I'm comfortable. That's all that counts.
That's right. He's in teaching mode. Is Chris still in there?
I'm reading my horoscope and going, now I know why I don't believe in this stuff.
Oh,
alrighty then.
It's only the 4th of January and he's already, you know, disenchanted with his horoscope. Am I in your way, dear?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm trying to get out of your way.
There we go.
Not that I can, but. All right.
Ooh, I do like this part. Continue to be in clean out mode. Get rid of things,
ew,
people, and old ideas about yourself.
Oh,
down,
wow,
girl.
Oh,
down,
I'm so
girl,
leaving that alone.
I don't even, yeah, no, no, I don't even want to go there.
Oops, I guess I need to push that button there.
And Jimmy Carper couldn't be here tonight, although he tried very hard. He went and partied hardy, and then...
That doesn't sound like Jimmy.
I know, that's why I said it. And then just wore himself to a frazzle. So, probably overload on birthday cake. Yes. Oh, I need to do a shameless PSA. Today is Paul's birthday, our intrepid photographer. Happy birthday, Paul. I know he's in the house.
Yep.
So we went to his party tonight. It was very nice.
Yeah, don't we have another one coming up soon?
One of those producer guys or whatever, one of the
Muckety
Mucks.
Two of them.
That's right. We got two of them this month.
Ew.
Apparently, to be associated with the show, your mother was only allowed to give it up in March.
Well, my mother gave it up later than March, so I came in March. Does that work?
I was in June.
Oh, and see, he's a summer kid.
Yeah, but there's a lot of January.
Yeah, there are
part of the show.
There definitely are associated with the show. Yeah. But that's okay.
So how was your week?
My week? Do you really want to know how my week was?
No. How was your week, Chris?
I don't think so. Actually, no, my week was very good, except for the ding on my door, that on my car door, that looks so terrible and makes me mad every time I go out. Jimmy had physical therapy and so on. He's doing much better there. And I just had kind of a laid-back week, and I took Christmas ornaments down today, or Christmas decorations outside down today.
Oh, okay.
I walked in from GCAM this morning, and I went, wow, it's a beautiful day compared to what we've been having. And then I was like, oh, my God, it's going to get cold again tomorrow. I've got to take ornaments down or Christmas decorations down while it's hot, comparatively speaking. So I did. I stripped the yard in about 2 hours. I was so proud of me. Tonight I can barely walk. I hurt so bad. So it was a good week.
There you go.
And you, since Chris is reading his horoscope, horrible scopes.
His horrible scope?
He needs to read my horoscope.
Are you sure you wanted him to do that?
Yeah, in his own fashion. Well, as long as we're doing, you know.
Okay, well, which one is this so I can start skimming over?
The fish. Pisces, of course. The water. I know, in March, I told you.
Don't look at me.
So was it?
You're in the back with the.
Yeah, I'm always the last one. What can I say?
There it is.
Yeah. There it is.
Yeah. So did you talk about your week? I'll
okay. Well, he's skimming over that real fast.
Yes.
My week. Well, as we all know, New Year's was this week, so it was like Tuesday. I went home early.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
We actually closed the dealership early. I went home earlier than that because I had absolutely nothing going on.
Gee, I'm sorry.
And then New Year's Day, we opened late and closed early again. So, again, I went home a little bit early that day, too.
What a deal.
So, but things are going all right. It was a pretty quiet week this week, except for a plethora of meetings I've got going on.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the birthday boy now.
Yes.
Ho. Yes, actually, on that cherry near on my jacket, by my jacket, is your gift that I forgot earlier. There really was one. I didn't lie.
Just ignore the Walgreens receipt.
But, yeah.
Walmart.
But, yeah.
No, it's not my gift, so.
In fact,
okay, there's a Shell receipt in there. Happy Slim Jim. So.
But, yeah, last night, actually, and here's where I'm going to do a shameless PSA. The Houston Spirit of Leather Awards panel met last night and finalized up the nominations and opened voting.
They done voted.
Yeah, and I took a look a little while ago, and we've already had 63 people vote.
Wow, people were waiting for it.
Apparently, because they didn't want to nominate. We only had...
People get nervous about nominating. First of all, they're afraid that somebody might know they nominated somebody, and, you know, I'm not nominating my best friend, so...
And what's funny is with SurveyMonkey, it's completely anonymous, even on the back end. I don't know who nominated what.
Well, you know me. I don't trust computers.
Yeah. So it's like everything on the back end where I was looking at it all says a respondent and a number. That's it. There's no name. I don't know who it came from. Nothing. So.
Wow. What
completely anonymous there. So, but we had enough nominees that we got quite a few people up to vote on.
Yeah. There was quite an array of individuals. Very much so. Organizations.
Still working on getting it up on all our different locations. But for those that are ready to go out there and vote already that haven't voted, you can go over to either my Facebook page, which you can get through the After Hours Facebook page, or tonight before I left the house, I went ahead and posted it on the After Hours Facebook page, the link to get to the SurveyMonkey, so you can actually go out there and do your vote.
And it's very simple.
It is.
I can do it. Anybody can do it. You click on the link, and that's, what, 9 categories?
Eight categories.
Eight categories. And lots of names you'll recognize.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We had a nice array of people in there. Let's see. We had individual award we've got three nominees on. The Fossil Award, which our very own Jimmy Carper has been nominated for that.
Oh, I hadn't told him.
Yeah, which reminds me, Jimmy Carter needs to show up that night.
Well, that is the plan.
Yeah.
You know, he's only good for about one thing a day.
Yeah.
You know.
So that'll be his one thing that night.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, there's lots of people and lots of events, lots of organizations that have been nominated for our different categories and everything. Again, there are 8 categories. There was one category that's not on there that was completely voted on by the panel.
Wow.
And it's our community service award.
Oh, that's the biggie.
That's the biggie.
Yeah.
We've already decided who's getting that. So it's a nice little surprise.
Okay.
It was a nice being a part of that.
Well, you know, when you're on a panel and you do all that work, or a committee or whatever you want to call it, and you do all this work, you want to get out there and get everybody involved, get it all done. And mm-hmm. it's really a dignified situation. I mean, it's not like drunk of the month, you know.
Yeah.
I used to win those. But, hello, is this working? But,
did you turn her microphone off, Wes?
Right. She's sitting over there, not me.
I turned me off. But, which is <I'm> turning me on. Hush. But,
change the batteries.
Really. Been there, done that. Then the panel deserves a little perk.
Yeah.
You know, there needs to be one thing the panel gets to do,
and
that's I think that's neat.
Yeah. You know. The ticket sales will be starting soon. I've got to finish designing the tickets itself, so that'll be going out.
Let me know. I want to be the first 2 tickets.
Black Hawk Leather will be having them at all of their stores, so you
gives
can still
an excuse to go see Master Bob.
Yes. Who's one of our panel members?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Jimmy can't go see him anymore. It breaks his heart.
Oh, wow.
Well, I can't lift the wheelchair up on that porch and get through the door.
True.
You know. We need to work on that.
But, yeah, so just so everybody knows, voting is on now, and it will run through January 19th. It is a short voting period only because we had to extend nominations because we didn't have enough out there for a while.
You know what? It's one of
that
those
we need
things,
time to get all the trophies made, too.
It's one of those things that if you're going to do it, you're not going to put it off to the 18th.
Yeah.
You know,
and like I said, we already got 63 people that have voted. So, I mean, even if we were to close them right now, there would be some really good winners out there.
That's a good number of people.
So, but, yeah, voting,
like PSA,
voting is open.
That was a full-blown advertisement.
Yeah, well, so what?
I don't know. So what?
It needs to be done, though, because, again, it is a short voting period, so we don't have a whole lot of time to put it out there. So we're hitting every venue we can. And we've actually decided... last night we decided we were going to do something special this year because there's actually an event going on over at the Eagle after the awards dinner. And we're actually going to tie in with that. It's kind of a bird theme too. And our logo is a kind of a bird also. Yeah.
Eagle, bird. Okay. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What a stretch for me.
So we're actually going to tie into that.
Shut the flock up.
I know, right? So we're going to tie in with their event that's going on over at the Eagle. I forget what it is right off the top of my head. I don't have all my notes in front of me.
Birds of a feather.
I know. So for the same price that you would just pay to go see the awards dinner, you can actually get in over at the Eagle and have fun over there for that night, too.
And if we're all leaving the awards dinner, then I can kind of like piggyback or, you know, with somebody else and so they can help me because I've never been there.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that, you know. It would have been interesting enough just Jimmy and me going, but... with the wheelchair and all, it's not a problem. It's just not knowing, you know, how to traverse the area.
Yeah.
Is to go there the first time, I kind of need a leader. You know,
yeah.
Need a leash.
And the nice thing about going into the Eagle is it's really easy to actually enter the Eagle with that wheelchair because they have a nice ramp that leads right up to the front door, whether you're wheelchair bound or not. There's only one way up, and
okay.
It's up a ramp.
Now I have to ask a question for our listening audience who couldn't see that. Your hand went from your waist to the top of your head when you said ramp. How rampy is this?
It's a pretty good size ramp.
Running start.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty good size ramp.
Is it ADA compliant? Yeah.
I would say.
The birthday boy says no.
Let's no. put it. Judy, do you ever watch The Price is Right?
I have, yeah.
Okay, you know that one little game where they have the little guy who goes, yo, lady, yo, lady, yo. That's about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've never.
But at least it's
an ADA ramp.
At least it's still a ramp, and you can roll them in.
Yeah.
Well, or get somebody to help you roll them in, actually.
Roll them in, and then I'll ride down with them. Took him to the dentist the other day, and I almost lost that sucker.
So,
the wheelchair, not Jimmy.
Yeah. So.
Okay, then.
So lots of good things planned for that. We're going to have a nice time. We're actually going to have a social hour before the actual awards dinner itself, something we expanded on there, too. So we've actually rented another room.
Wow.
So we can do the social hour.
Gives people someplace to be while they're waiting to be seated.
Exactly. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. I'm ready. Just put the tickets on sale. Put me down for two. I can, you know.
They'll be going out very, very soon.
Okay. I need to be the first two. So I'm not even registered for all right, Louis
so,
yet.
Boy, your horoscope is all wrong, Judy.
Uh-oh.
Okay, here we go.
This is a good time for yoga or meditation if the class is not too big.
Yeah, I don't see that happening with her.
And this is a great year for getting out of town often. Be sure to take a vacation in 2014.
Well, I'm going to go on vacation in 2014, but I'm not sure about often. And yoga, not.
One thing missing from your life is a connection with friends and community organizations. You began to pull away from this activity in 2009.
They don't know her very well, do they?
These are the anti-horoscopes, aren't right. they?
And did you happen to read through Gemini while you were
sure,
at that?
Sure, why not? I have two fish, you have two whatever.
I got to turn back to the other.
Oh, God help us. We have to talk another 7 minutes to turn a page.
Well, it's easy enough with everything going on with the spirit of leather and all that.
Well,
so.
That's true.
But, Gemini.
Oh,
here.
Gemini. Ooh, he's fast.
I know, right?
Well, I still got to skim through it here also.
Oh, so he can kibitz.
Yeah, you're less social than usual. Duh.
On the couch.
At work, you put up new boundaries. If you're not willing to be just the patch and repair person. Ooh, there could be shifts in team leaders, office relocation, and new technology for you to learn.
Oh. Well, we are at work. We are moving our office. The whole building's being moved.
Oh, how do you move? Never mind. But you've relocated.
We are in a temporary building where my office is, and they're actually moving it because our showroom's being expanded.
So you're really moving the building.
the building's actually going to move.
Only Wes.
Wow.
So.
Uh-oh, he wowed there, you.
There's the office relocation.
There you go.
Finances may be bringing you down, but you are continuing to work on getting that part of your life in order.
Oh, joy.
So his are a little bit right here.
Mine are falling in.
Oh, here's where it totally goes downhill for you, Wes.
Okay.
It's totally not you. Okay. Your relationships improve after mid-year.
No, it's not going to happen.
You addressed your problems, and you're feeling more confident. No.
Uh-oh. My roommate's listening. She wants to hear Aquarius.
Go to outsmartmag.com.
Oh, this must be Lily.
I'm actually surprised she's actually listening. I figured she'd be passed out since she's got to work tomorrow.
Passed out?
You want to make healthier food choices.
Okay.
Relationships improve after July. Oh, your career's in focus, and you're ready to make part of your life better.
Uh-huh. Well, good luck with that. I really envy people who can do things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, doesn't work for me.
All right. So, to continue on with our original question, how was your week, Chris?
Let's see. Kind of almost died yesterday.
Why would you want to do that?
I wasn't planning it.
No, most people don't plan that.
The tire on the truck.
Oh, I saw that.
Shredded.
That looks terrible.
Yeah, it took two cans of Fix-A-Flat.
And did what with them?
Wait a minute. How do you put Fix-A-Flat in that mess?
In a blown out. Yeah.
I mean, the whole sidewall was blown out.
I had duct tape.
I mean, you'd have been better off buying those cans of foam.
Oh, geez.
No, actually, it was tire was completely shredded.
Yes, it was.
Fortunately for me, about a minute before it went out, I was doing 65 miles an hour. And
still waiting for the fortunate part.
When I was slowing down.
He was getting ready to turn a corner.
He was getting ready to. Yeah.
I was with.
Or find the speed limit.
No, I was within a quarter mile of work and was getting ready to turn down the street, so I had slowed down sufficiently, and that's when the tire decided to go, and I got over immediately, and got the tow, got someone to come out there and change the tire, and went down and replaced the tire today. I actually got two tires on it.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Of course, most trucks take four, but...
Well, the other two are still okay for a little bit.
Oh, okay.
But
see, you weren't clear.
The funny thing is, my mom was, when I told my mom about the flat, she said, well, your father said there were some problems with...
She talking to him again?
She broke out the Ouija board.
What is it about this chair?
Now, supposedly he said that, you know, the two probably needed two tires replaced on it, and he passed away in August. And it's like, well, now you tell
you
me.
You couldn't have mentioned him, Mom?
You know, I...
She wanted to send you on a visit?
I'm glad it happened then rather than, oh, say me cruising down 290 tonight after the show.
Yeah. Yeah, there is that.
Yeah.
So, I have to say, they very nice selection of employees at the tire place I went to.
Well, you're supposed to be choosing tires.
Well, apparently he decided he wanted to choose an employee also.
Apparently so, yeah.
I was willing to get something else rotated, but, you know. But then again, the other part is I'm looking at it going, they're not old enough to drive. I'm looking at them going, my God, they're so young.
Beautiful.
I'm like, are you sure you're qualified to drive the vehicle into the garage? I got that taken care of. So that was, you know, New Year's I spent with my mom and my youngest brother's family. You know, all stayed up till midnight, including the 5-year-old.
They usually do it better than the adults.
Yeah, he crashed about 12:15. But no, it was, relatively speaking, quiet if it wasn't for the neighbors. We were shooting off small fireworks because my nephew does not like loud noises. The people across the street apparently have no problem with loud noises. And
apparently none of the people out where I live at don't either, because I was hearing lots of fireworks out there.
You're in the city limits of Houston. That's illegal.
You think?
No, I'm technically outside the city limits.
Well, I'm not.
By about a mile.
And there were enough of them on my street.
So, past that was not too bad of a thing. My family finally got together. We've picked a date for Father's memorial service. After we had to almost throttle the church secretary.
Oh, okay. Well, that's always fun. Yeah. A little bonus.
So we finally got that planned. We're moving along with that. We finally have a the design to put on the stuff. So that was the big thing of this week, was getting things set up and all that. And confused my boss. I said, yeah, we picked a date for the memorial, and we picked who we're going to have cater it. And he's like,
huh?
What are you doing? And it's like, you don't have a little get together afterwards? The funerals you go to? It's.
Hello.
I mean, I remember as a kid.
Maybe he doesn't.
Well, like I said, I remember when my grandfather's funeral, up in Pennsylvania, we all went out to a volunteer fire station that they had room. They have rooms there you can rent for.
Well, that could be fun.
And so we did that, and then they brought all the food and all the stuff back to the house. And I tease about the fact that, yeah, they sent all the kids out. And we went out the side door, went down the stairs, and went into the basement where they had put the keg of beer that they brought back from the reception. And us kids were trying that out. Considering the fact I was one of the oldest ones in there, and I was a freshman in high school, that gives you kind of an idea of...
Been a day or two. Are we having fun yet?
So, past that. No, just a simple, easy week.
Well, you know, I was like, what was your week? It was like, oh, it was lazy. And I'd forgotten New Year's happened. That's how, you know, remarkable mine was.
Oh.
You know. Jimmy and I stayed home. We toasted some lovely, lovely pink, heavy pink crystal with gold leaf, you know, design all over it.
Interesting.
Gorgeous. And pink cider at midnight. And just had ourselves a nice, quiet evening. And it was done. Next thing we knew, it was 2014.
Yeah, the biggest part of our family, what we did is, my mom got one of those Keurig coffee pots for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out and bought a bunch of assorted hot chocolates and that to go with it. So we were all drinking hot chocolates and coffees all night.
Oh, that sounds dangerous.
But so... I had forgot on our Facebook posting to put Theater Suburbia. I apologize for that.
They are in the house.
Yes.
We've had a crazy Facebook week. So
oh, my God.
I
don't even go there.
So it kind of slipped my mind. Also, we had scheduled for tonight He reached his candidate number two, J.P. Gill. Unfortunately, we received word earlier today from Cubby Christopher, who does PR over at Aresis, that J.P. has sore throat issues, and the board recommended he save his voice and not come out on the show tonight. So we wish him a speedy recovery, which he'll need because voting starts on Monday over at JR's Bar and Grill for Aresis, and then the, what, 7 to 10?
I believe so.
And then from noon to 6 on Saturday over at Legacy Community Health Services in the lobby. You'll need to bring a photo ID with a 77 zip code on it. You're voting, you have three candidates for Emperor, Falcon, J.P. Gill, and Royce Wood. And you have one candidate for Empress, which...
Amber.
I was trying to think of the entire name. I remembered Amber, and I just...
I think there's four of them, and I never can remember. It's just Amber to me.
And her vote is a yay or nay on that. And so for more information, go to Aresis, which is... I'm not a candidate, so I don't have to know the letters.
E-R-S-I-C-S-S.
.org.
Yeah.
Empire Royal Sovereign Imperial Court Single Star. Yeah.
He doubted me.
You acted like you were doubting yourself.
No. I won't even tell you how I remember it. I can't.
So, check that out. Make sure you go out and vote for the next Emperor and Empress of Reign 30 on the Aresis.
All right.
So I guess we need to put a little bit of music and written the Theater Suburbia in.
Yeah.
Well, I think that makes sense to me. If I can do this right.
What?
I touch the flower and it speaks to me in a language of perfection, silently. I lift the petals to my nose, know that I behold a rose. But some things are not so easy to define. I question them all the time. Am I in love with you? Am I in love with love? Is this the kind of stuff they say that dreams are made of? I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do. But when I hear a love song, I think of you. I climb the mountains of New Mexico, high up where the juniper and pinyon grow. I feel the earth beneath my feet, in a place where body and spirit meet. I wish the other things I long to understand would present themselves as plainly in my hand. Am I in love with you? Am I in love with love? Is this the kind of stuff they say that dreams are made of? I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do. But when I hear a love song, I think of you. One man's truth is another man's lie. One woman's happiness could make another cry. The greatest wisdom can't be found on any shelf. You would not believe it till you've lived it for yourself. I touch you heart to heart and skin to skin. I taste your passion and I dare to drink you. The strength within your voice, and I'm unafraid to make this choice. No other man has ever come this close to answering the question I asked the most. Am I in love with you? Am I in love with love? Is this the kind of stuff they say that dreams are made of? I don't know what to think, I don't know what to do, but when I hear a love song, I think of you.
And that was Ron Romanowski with When I Hear a Love Song. Let's see here. And now that Judy and I have swapped chairs.
I know. See, now we look like normal. It feels funny.
Wait.
All right.
Wait.
As normal as we're going to get. What is normal for the KPFT After Hours show?
What the hell is normal?
I'm trying to explain that.
There's no normal for this show.
As normal as it gets for us.
No. There's no normal here at all. Come on now. We're about as abnormal as you can get.
I know, isn't it fun? Well, I feel better sitting on this side of the glass staring at you when I have guests in.
Yes.
Yes, it does not feel normal in there for guests to be here.
Yeah, I know, right?
So, and I have with me the, major crowd from Theater Suburbia, all but the director. He never quite made it into the room, so they're all very... Oh, yeah, in this great huge building, we can lose them so easily. Hi, yep. Oh, thank you very much. The birthday boy just brought me a gift.
Oh.
You can't beat a deal like that.
You give him one, he gives you one.
That's right. Jimmy will love this. It's good old grapefruit. Yeah. So we got grapefruit for breakfast. Anyway, brought the cast from Theater Suburbia in tonight, and the director's floating around the building somewhere. Any crew members here? Are they all cast members?
All cast.
Wow.
Hey, we have the assistant director.
You're assistant director. Oh, my God. Give the woman a microphone. Y'all can share microphones. It's okay. And your name is?
My name is Akia.
Akia. I've seen you around, Akia.
I was in the last show.
Okay.
As a cast member.
So, okay. Well, we'll let you start off the proceedings here and just tell us a little bit about the show and why you're praying that Elvin walks in the door.
Right.
Or don't. Well, I tell you what you can do.
I can tell you.
Okay. If you don't know the show by now, honey, we're all in trouble. Don't tell me you're microphone shy.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Doesn't bite. It doesn't bite. Get close.
Okay, I can get
there.
Close.
Look at this. I mean, she's about to eat the mic now. Okay. No, go ahead.
Well, the show is centered around a poetry roundup gathering that's happening at the Saddlehorn Bar in the middle of Spit Whistle, Texas.
Been there. Yes. No.
Really?
Really?
It's pretty much, I guess, kind of the story of it's like these different characters arriving to the bar, and PBS shows up. And they're interviewing the different characters. So you kind of get a piece of what each character is about. And there's a love scene, a love story somewhere involved between two characters, PA and Deuce. And there's cowboy poetry involved because it's, cowboy poetry roundup.
That would make sense even to me.
Yeah.
And I'm not right.
Just a little bit. It's not the main part of the show, but there's some poetry in it. And...
Well, that come in handy, too.
Yeah. So that's the show.
Go figure.
I've always had trouble describing it for people. But
that's okay.
There's many parts to it. So, yeah.
There's a lot of different stories.
Complicated.
Stories and characters and relationships.
Oh, I know. It's not like this little bitty dinky dandy cast walked in. It's like the cast of almost thousands. So, it's got to be a lot of little subtitles and subtexts and so on. So, all right. Hi, honey. He finally made it in. So, you want to add to any of this before we?
Since I didn't hear anything. That
well,
was
all added. all the assistant did was run in here and give us a little synopsis of the show so far. Introduced anybody or anything.
Well, for shame.
Well, I didn't know that was my job to introduce everyone. I've got everyone introduce themselves.
They will. Just letting you get started on why we're here.
I was out looking for a lost cast member who's on his way.
on his. You know, we've been that route before.
Yes.
Taylor, so, I can't.
Every time you show up after you leave.
It's a good show, and I think Akia and I worked pretty well on putting it together, and the response Thursday and Friday and Saturday has been real strong from the audience.
I heard that.
So, I don't. Other than Akia knows as
what
much
do you
about.
Know? You're just a
yeah. I, well, I kind of follow along behind Akia, and figure out what's going on.
Say, who's Kia?
Yeah. Kia. So. Why doesn't everyone introduce themselves and let me stop talking? Because I don't like to talk on the radio.
All right. We're going to start over at that end over there.
All right. My name is Jeff Hennier, and I'm playing Buck Newley, a.k.a. Michael Tibbetts.
And it's so nice to see you back.
Yeah, it has been a while.
It has been a while. We know who she is.
I'm Helen Hearn, and I play Terry Blair.
And I say, it's nice to see you back, too, but yes. You haven't been gone as long as Jeff. So.
Hi, I'm Megan Nix. I'm playing the role of PA. She is the bar owner in Spitwhistle, Texas.
Well, you just look like the
yeah,
bar
I
owner
look
in
like
Spitwhistle,
one, exactly.
Texas.
And PA stands for?
Pollyanna.
Two words.
Two words.
Now, are we pulling my leg here, or is this her name?
No, that's what,
yeah. Okay. Hey, you're talking to somebody who has all kinds of folks in Bowling, Texas. You know, you're not going to pull any of the wool over my eyes in here for this play. Go ahead.
My name is Adrian Collinson. I play legendary cowboy poet Boone Hawkins. Mm.
Legendary. Yes, you can kind of lean forward here.
I'm Rebecca Stevens, and I play the role of Jill McGilligan.
Somebody tell her what her role is.
She's already forgotten.
Wow.
Sorry, Carl.
Hello, my name is Chris Keller. I play the role of Rafe Canefield. I am a younger cowboy poet who has now won a few competitions, and I've gotten a bit arrogant and a big head from it. So I'm looking to...
The cocky one.
To take someone down and take his place.
And he looks like he could.
There were giant air quotes around that bit.
Oh, hello, stranger. I didn't see you sneak in.
That's my specialty. I'm Bob Galley. I play Simon, the PBS cameraman. So I come with the documentary... person who is not with us tonight.
Rebecca.
Yeah, okay.
Character name.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we are missing Taylor Wildman, who plays Henry Burke, who is somewhere in transit.
Oh, he's the waiver one.
And David Barron, who plays Deuce. Does Deuce have a last name?
I never heard it.
Oh, look at the script. It's okay.
Yeah, it probably is.
Deuce Watley. And we're missing Amanda Garcia, who plays Rebecca
Proctor.
Yeah. And we're missing a director who knows anything at all about this.
Were you there for rehearsal? No. Okay. Well, do we know where the Wayward One is supposed to be?
Here.
We all left the same location.
Thank you, Bob. I meant in transit because Elvin's been in touch with him. We might have an idea.
I put a call in and got a voicemail.
So we have no clue.
When we start a scene,
you checked JR's?
When we start a scene, I'm going to step out and use the cell phone again and see if I can locate him.
Okay. Perhaps we should start. Is he in the scene? I don't need to read.
We're doing Rebecca Proctor, the PBS... whatever she is.
Correspondent.
She interviews everyone. Yeah. So I thought that might be a good thing to let the audience hear. It'll be those interviews.
That makes sense. Before you come back in, maybe you can grab a copy and read it real quick.
The script?
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Okay.
And I believe that Akia.
Akia.
Has agreed to read the role of Rebecca.
Oh, oh, she's read the script.
She thinks she has.
Okay. Never met a director yet that read a script.
Assistant director.
That's why they have assistant directors.
I know. All right.
So you guys will pick the character, you know where you come in.
I was going to say, I don't see a lot of scripts in here. That's a lot of faith in your work there.
Hey, Jill, should we get ours out of the way first?
Does she interview?
And if y'all wanted to squeeze in and be very friendly, if these folks are reading, y'all can kind of...
I'm not that
you don't have
friendly.
To be right beside them, but just closer.
That's what I say. Let's do the Simon and Jill one.
Well, this is fun. Simon and Jill. Okay. Went up the hill.
That one doesn't have what?
The fetch a pail of water?
Apparently so.
Other than the real Rebecca.
I just don't throw a pail of anything. Wow, we're playing musical chairs.
A pail, but a pail of coke.
Musical chairs on the radio is really not effective.
Especially when there's no music playing.
Exactly. Well, I could whistle, but my teeth might fall out. Are we ready? Yeah. I can you know, play with Wes all the time. Okay.
Yeah, so for this scene, actually, Rebecca, the PBS person, has stepped outside of the bar to try to get a cell phone signal.
And we're on pay. No.
Yeah. 25.
And she left Simon, her cameraman, inside. And this is Jill, the college student who's back from home, who's helping out during the poetry roundup. Gathering.
Oh, now she's up. See? Look, give her a little direction.
She's the waitress of the bar as well.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Do you like being a cameraman?
Sure.
What do you like about it?
Not having to answer questions.
No, really. Why do you like it?
The camera captures people. Portraits of people, moving portraits. The camera sees people for what they are.
It's not an x-ray machine, is it?
Sometimes, when it looks inside you.
Did it look inside me?
I believe it did.
Oh yeah? What'd it see?
Someone who's dissatisfied and disappointed and set on getting somewhere she won't be either one of those things.
Did the camera see all that, or was it just you?
You think I'm that perceptive?
Hard to say. Let me hear some more.
You want something better than what you've known. You'd like to be appreciated for who you are, and you should be.
You may be perceptive, or maybe just a little on the make.
See.
Whoa. Okay. Are you going to tell us what he is? Oh. Oh, and this is the infamous Taylor. So nice to see you. How was JR's tonight?
Look, he's blushing.
Yeah, I see that. I won't ask any more questions, so. All right. And keep the cameraman away from me. I don't need anything from his camera. Oh, you're back. Hello.
Hello again. Hello.
Well, take a quick moment and kind of introduce yourself and tell us why you're here. Everybody else did it. You just weren't here to hear them.
Okay. Well, I'm Taylor Wildman, and I'm here for the interview with the Under a Cowboy Mooncast. Excited.
Works for me. And what part do you play?
I play Henry Burke.
And what does Henry Burke do?
He is a loving, naive fella who's just entered the contest on a whim.
Typecasting?
No. See, that's okay. Judy.
That's okay. If I let y'all in, you have to let me give you a hard time. It's okay. It's all right.
Wow. Well, that was rough. Dang.
Bite me, bitch.
That was good.
Okay. Now we just have fun. It's okay. We have fun.
Awesome. He's still smiling. So
he's still smiling. Yeah. He's through blushing. Okay.
Could have pulled me.
All right.
I still see some red on there.
That's okay. Back off. I'm watching it.
Hello.
Uh-oh.
You are just kind of like a little jack-in-the-box, aren't you?
Yes, very much.
I think he's got ants in his pants.
Never mind. I think we're getting ready to do a new scene there.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got like 1,000 people here. Oh, poor Helen's lost.
No, I'm just trying to figure out which one we want to do next.
Yes.
Oh.
Which one
do you have no direction in that? No.
Do we not have a director around here?
R2?
R3? I don't have
it's like I'm going off this one.
I know, Doris will kill you. You don't have your script. We've only done Simon and Jill, the cameraman.
Start at the top. Henry's the first interview. Do his.
Okay. Oh, no, that was way too simple. Can. That? No.
That
way too simple.
Further back, I think. Where are you?
Do you know what page?
No.
It's 20 or 21.
But we're just completely lost tonight, aren't we?
A little bit.
Hello, how are you?
We're completely lost.
Well, in the meantime, anybody want to talk about auditions?
How about, how where are
Come
they
on,
at?
Come on, honey, move on up.
No, I was going to say, where are they located?
Oh, okay. Doris is going to talk about her auditions.
Yeah, we're having auditions tomorrow for Sherlock Holmes and the Jersey Lily. Sign in at 1 o'clock, start at 2. Monday night at 7:30, sign in at 6:30. The part of Sherlock has already been precast by Arnold Ritchie, but I'm still looking for 4 men and 2 women. So, come on down. We'd love to have you read for us an audition. And now maybe the cast has got it together.
And maybe not.
Because they forgot their scripts.
See, I told you she'd yell at you.
Hey, Doris, where are y'all located?
Anyway.
Where are we located, he says?
4106, way out west. Houston, 77092. We have a website, www.theatersuburbia.org. Check it out. It has all the information about the shows, auditions. And for KPFT listeners, we still offer a 2-for-1. Tell us you heard it on KPFT, and we'll give you an extra ticket. It comes in handy now because our adult prices have gone up to $16. So it's a good deal. And,
still a good deal.
Come on over.
All right. Oh, and I have something to say real quick before we keep going. Doris and Elvin might be interested in this. Nobody else in the room is old enough to care.
Okay. Hey, watch it.
Ooh. Well,
yeah, watch it.
No, that's okay. Y'all haven't heard what I have to say yet. Okay. February, next month, the 4th of February, actually, marks 10 years that Suburbia and After Hours have been working together on plays.
Oh, you finally looked it up.
Yeah. Oh, I had to work on my resume. Yeah, I had to work on my resume. February 4th.
I was only 25 then.
Well, I didn't say you were old. I said you were old enough in the theater, you know, Suburbia,
actually, you know,
to care about what happened 10 years ago.
I thought it
ago.
Actually been longer than that.
It's actually been 10 years. I was amazed. But it's 10 years of every show except 2.
Oh, okay.
Every show for the last 10 years except 2 shows have been on KPFT before, you know, around opening.
I was going to say, because I did, didn't we do this for, like, Murder by Misadventure? Or
when was that?
Diviners? Or,
yeah. So, well, no, it wasn't Diviners.
Okay.
Not Diviners. That was a good show, though.
Well, may I be the first one to say congratulations and early happy anniversary.
Yay, yeah. Thank you. See? All right. I just had to say that, but, you know,
well,
next month it wouldn't have mattered.
Before,
so. Yeah, but we didn't know for sure, so now we do. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, we have another scene. We've decided who we're going to do what with.
I believe so.
Okay, because we're going to be, let's see, okay.
Seven minutes.
6 minutes. Okay.
Am I starting at the top of 15?
I thought we had that worked out. No.
Well, we couldn't talk because Doris was talking.
I know.
Talking.
When you talk, you had to whisper.
Okay. And you are?
Henry Burke.
How long have you been a poet, Henry?
Just a few months, off and on. But I've been giving it a lot more thought the past few weeks.
Henry, why don't we start with you? Take a seat at the bar. That'll make a good shot, don't you think?
Good as any.
The camera has a microphone that will pick up everything you say.
How about that, Henry? You're going to be a star.
Just relax now and tell us what cowboy poetry means to you.
Well, poetry, the cowboy kind of poetry, it just talks about things the way they are. You write down what you're feeling, or what it was you felt when something happened to you, and people just understand what you're talking about. Except you're saying it a different way from them. Cowboy poetry is poetry. Well, for cowboys.
Cut. Very good, Henry.
Okay. Thank you.
He was at JR's, wasn't he? Oh, hello.
Okay. Who's the next? PA. You're next.
Girl.
Where are we at? Okay. PA, do I understand the contest was your idea?
Yeah, I guess it was mostly mine. We had to think up of some way to bring in a little business into town. As you can see, there's not much town left.
When you say we...
The Chamber of Commerce. Believe it or not, me and Deuce make up 2/3 of it. The other third, Charlie Seiler, is laid up in a hospital over in Van Horn. Probably won't be coming back. Spit Whistle's dying too, and taking a long time doing it.
Why a poetry contest?
They're kind of popular now, and you don't really have to build anything to have it. The only real investment is the prize money, which draws a fair number of people, though nowhere near what the big contests do.
And you believe it can save the town?
Nothing can save the town. But we do what we can to get by. Visitors rent rooms from the locals and buy food and drinks, along with the entry fees, so that covers the prize money.
When the dust clears, we don't make a lot of profit, but it helps.
What keeps you in Spitwhistle?
That's a damn good question. Sorry, didn't mean to say damn on TV. At first you stay in a place like Spitwhistle because you don't know anything else. Later you stay because you don't have any way out. If I were ever to get together a whole pocket full of money at one time, I'd join my sister in Texarkana and buy a piece of the diner that she runs there. But that's never gonna happen. Here in Spitwhistle, the only thing that's sure to happen is the wind's gonna blow the dust around, first one way, and then when the dust wind changes, back the other way. If West Texas dust was worth anything, we'd all be millionaires.
Okay. Alrighty.
We're going to do your interview that runs
goes into hers. Okay. Well, it starts page 32.
Oh, okay. Look, the man knows the school.
And so... I'm just start with my line.
Mm-hmm.
My name's Rafe Canefield, future winner of the Spitwhistle Cowboy Poetry Roundup, among other competitions I've already hung on my belt. They tell me I have a way with words. Truth is, I have a way with a lot of things.
Where are you from, Mr. Canefield?
Colorado. All over Colorado, but mostly around Durango.
Are you a working cowboy?
If you're a cowboy, you're a working cowboy. Sure, I'll do that.
Rafe works summers at the Friendly Campfire Ranch.
Nobody asked you, Terry.
I was just trying to...
Nobody asked.
Sounds like a dude ranch.
I'm a cowboy through and through. Roping and riding is the work I do. A branding iron fits my hand in the spring, and autumn finds me in the rodeo ring. I'm a cowboy. That there is the first part of the poem that won me my last contest.
That was good.
It wasn't bad.
What makes you so confident about winning this time?
Because I'm a winner.
Haven't you ever heard of humility?
Oh, sure. That's what other folks have who aren't as good as me.
I think that's a good quote to end on. Why don't we talk to Terry now?
Terry? Sure, give her a thrill, not that she needs any more. Terry, come on over, hon.
You wouldn't mind if I asked you a few questions, would you?
Me? No, I'd be glad to be on TV. Hello, I'm Terry Blair.
Miss Blair, what do you like most about these cowboy poetry contests?
It's not the poetry. It's the cowboy I like.
Now here's a girl who's got her head on straight, and the rest of her's on pretty good, too.
Do you consider yourself a cowgirl?
I don't like that word. Cowgirl makes me sound fat.
Do you think Rafe's going to win?
He always wins with me.
I'm so glad that was the end.
Yeah. Me too, because we only have about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I know.
So let's go ahead and do that now, and we'll come back.
Okay.
KPFT in Houston is now home to the Scholar Circle, Tuesdays at 5 a.m. I'm Maria Armudian. The Scholar Circle brings you cutting-edge research and intelligent analysis that helps us understand the issues facing our nation and the world today. Each Tuesday, we bring together scholars from a variety of disciplines to talk about what has brought us to where we are today and where we might be headed tomorrow. From science to statesmanship, faith to philosophy, love to longevity, conflict to cooperation. We touch it all and in plain everyday language. Join us Tuesdays at 5 a.m. on the Scholar Circle, right here on Houston's Community Public Radio, 90.1 FM, KPFT, Houston.
And you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener sponsor, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 in Goodrich, Livingston. And as always, www.kpft.org. Now back to Judy Reeves and Theatra Sabavia.
Chris abandoned this, or is he still reading horoscopes?
I have probably still reading horoscopes.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, we're here with Theatra Sabavia for a few more minutes, and... they're reading some very interesting little interviews to us from the play. Let's play.
Under a Cowboy Moon by Carl Williams.
He is good. It was a
at
test.
At least he remembered something.
He remembered the title. Well, he's looking over here. No. Anyway, we have a couple of more little short scenes that we want, and then we'll give some more information on the play.
Okay.
Excuse me, are you ready?
Whenever you are, CB. That's an old joke. It had something to do with Cecil B. DeMille. I don't remember the joke.
By the way, you might want to try washing your jeans before you wear them for the first time.
Please tell us your name.
My name is Buck Newley.
Where are you from, Buck?
Right here in Texas.
What is it that you like about cowboy poetry?
It's an opportunity for the artistic expression of... I mean, it's a chance to say what a man feels about what a man feels. In light of the Old West, which underlies the veneer of the modern West in all its permutations... that is... The Old West is alive and kicking. Shoot, yes. And the poetry, you see, allows one to experience that in a revelatory fashion that... you know, it's been a long day, and I better not talk anymore.
It's probably good. Sorry about that. You know I love you, Jeff.
I think page 49.
Oh, I've heard this somewhere before.
Yeah. It's like reverberating in my ear here.
Thank you.
Well.
This is the
booth. All right, here we go.
All righty. We need to talk to Mr. Hawkins before we start up again.
Sure, you want him on his feet?
No, at the table's fine, but get down low for the shot. Is this a good time to get your thoughts on cowboy poetry?
I doubt if my thoughts can fill up that camera.
Have you been writing poetry a long time?
Oh, 15 years or so. As the years pile on, you find you want to sit more and tell more about the things you've seen. Poetry's just a way of talking that you put down on a page.
You see it as a record of the life you've lived.
That's pretty much it. People want to know, what's it like being a cowboy? And I want to recollect it myself, so I write it all down and mess around with it till it comes out sounding like it ought to. I try to say what I want to say without getting too fancy.
But you work on the poetry part.
You work the poetry like you work cattle. It isn't easy, but if you keep at it, you can get them where you want them to go. The cattle, the words. And if they're the right words, then folks will feel they're right. Those who've known it themselves will smile and say, yeah, that's how it was. And those who've never known it will believe that's how it must have been.
Is the poetry all true, then?
It's as true as the poet. A man puts himself into what he has to say. If he's right with himself, he'll be right in what he says.
All right. Okay. Words to live by. Nobody I know lives by them, but, you know, so. All right, so y'all opened this weekend, and yes, you run through, hi.
Hi, we opened January the 3rd. We run through February the 1st, mm-hmm. Friday and Saturday evenings at 8:30. The Sunday matinees are
January
19th and 26th at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
The theater is located at 4106 Way Out West. That's near the intersection of West 43rd and Old Hempstead Highway.
Well, for our neighborhood, it's like right down the street from the new bar. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Right down the street from Neon Boots. Yes. The theater's phone number is 713-682-3525. The theater's website is www.TheatreSuburbia.org. TheatreSuburbia.org. Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah, he's listening, so I had to be sure to say that.
And if you mention KPFT in After Hours, you get 2-for-1 tickets.
That's right. Can't be a deal like that.
And there's 10 people on stage most of the time.
All a bit cocky in their own self. Oh,
yeah, well, absolutely. But there's 10 people on stage who work very hard, and I think they've got a good show. And I thoroughly encourage everyone to come out and see it.
And tomorrow and Monday, if they'd like, they can...
Tomorrow and Monday is the auditions for Sherlock Holmes and The Case of the Jersey Lily. Doris is directing that, and Doris needs 2 women and 3 men?
Four men.
The role of Sherlock has already been cast, so there's no reason for audition for that one. But there are other roles, and it's a pretty typical Sherlock, but it's an interesting script.
Okay.
Auditions start at 2, sign-in starts at 1 tomorrow, and Monday the sign-in starts at 6:30, and the auditions are at 7:30. Start at 7:30.
Sounds exciting to me. I've been there, done that. So.
And we appreciate After Hours giving us this opportunity.
For 10 years we've been doing
this. Thank you very much for letting us come.
I need to talk to you before you leave the room. Leave the house.
If they come to audition, they get 2 free tickets to come see Under a Cowboy Moon.
Now, how can you beat a deal like that? You know, come audition, even if you can't be in the play. You need the practice, and you get to come see the show free. Boy, what a deal. It's like Christmas all over again. All right. Well, I'm glad you made it from the bar. We'll see you on stage one night.
Look, you made him blush all over again.
I know. I love it. I love it. I have that power. You got some music to get this lovely crowd out?
Well, no.
No?
No.
I'm going to sit here. No, I can't whistle anymore.
No, we're not going to do music this time, but I am going to bring in the kids.
Okay, bring them on in. Because we got the kids waiting for us.
And it's time for Hatch, so all here right. We go.
Thank you, guys.
I can sing.
Thank you, Brian. Look at this.
Hi, this is Hatch. My name is Zayden.
Colette.
Dre.
It's Andrew.
And Troy.
Today we're going to be talking about depression and how people kind of get sad during the holidays and how it's just a brief moment in time and everything is going to be all right. And okay, crap.
And some New Year's resolutions.
Oh yeah, changing it up a little bit. Yeah,
yeah, on a happier note.
Mm-hmm. Depression. New Year.
Cheer up, everybody.
And these are the numbers for the Montrose Center, 713-529-0037. So if you're feeling that you need somebody to talk to or Jazz, if you have issues that you need to discuss, they'll be more than happy to help you with it.
And then the numbers for Hatch is 713-529-3590. The website is www.hatchyouth.org. And the website for the center is www.montrosecenter.org.
And for the gay and lesbian switchboard, which is available all the time, 24/7, the number is 713-529-3211. 713-529-3211.
It's important you have these numbers with you because the switchboard is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you're in a moment of crisis, and real severe crisis, the number is 911. But if you're in need help and are trying to find someone to get in contact with who can refer you to someone who can help you with some of your problems, find a coffee house that's open, that's available to GLBT, you know, some of the different organizations, that's the switchboard number, 713-529-3211. If it's during normal business hours, you can contact the Montrose Center and they'll get you in touch with people help you with therapy, recovery, addiction problems, and they work for all ages from youth up to senior citizens. They have programs for all groups. So we're in the holiday time, and it's always a little crazy for everybody. And in our community, it's a little extra stressful with family coming in and out, and whether or not you're out to them, and how much they know and all that. So even though we're doing this just a couple days before Christmas, if you already experienced some of that anxiety of what, you know, the extended family getting together or even back with Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving wasn't really that hectic for me. We didn't really do nothing, but for Christmas, we were actually going to London. My birthday was yesterday, but I didn't get any, so it's kind of weird that I haven't got anything for my birthday yet, but I have got something for my birthday. It's just my mom is waiting till we actually go over there for me to open everything. So, I haven't had my party yet. So when we get over there, we're leaving tomorrow actually.
It's interesting spending, you know, the holidays in another country.
That's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah,
it sounds nice.
Oh, that's because my family's over here. Well, that's where I'm from.
It could be like chip chip perio.
Hey, we took offense to that. But it's been kind of stressful. I got fired yesterday, too.
Merry Christmas.
Happy birthday.
Serious?
What? Of all places?
Oh, it's because they said I was going into work, but I was going to be late because my family was packing because we were trying to have and get everything ready, but I forgot about the time, and it takes me like 30 minutes to get there. Well, my mom, anyway, I can drive. But it takes her like 30 minutes to get there, and I was going to be late, And I feel like going in today already, so like it was my first time calling in, so like I'll just call in, no big deal. They were talking about, we need you for the holidays, we're very busy today. I was like, I can come in, but I'm going to be late. They were like, never mind, consider this your termination or something like that. It was my first call in, but I hated the job anyway, so, eh.
You've had how many jobs over the last year? How many? A lot?
Hey. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had like 8 jobs.
In a year?
Yeah.
Oh. That's
gonna be good. Well, 17 now. But
Well, at least it doesn't sound depressed about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always, I guess it's always good to like kind of work at a place you'll somewhat like.
Yeah, that's why I kind of like, oh my, I know there is no such thing as a perfect job, but for me, I just want a job where like, I don't really care about the money, which is something that I never thought I would say, but I don't really care about the money. I just want a place where I like actually like going in at work.
You still live with your mother, right? So money's not really an issue.
Can't even
You'll care about it later. But,
yeah.
But you're like,
okay. Yeah, who cares?
So your holiday, though, have you told your family about it? About you?
Yeah.
They've been there.
I told this story before, but my mom knew before I said anything. So it wasn't, my dad was the only one, but he just didn't really, it took him a while to get used to it, but he didn't really react. So it's kind of like our relationship kind of got reared to where it's like, we barely talked. If we talked, it was like, wasn't like how we used to talk. Like, I would kind of, not as a friend, but you know, kind of like you had a like, relationship where you can kind of talk to your parents. It kind of went from
like
that
to cut corners and certain things,
But it's gotten way better now. So as, I don't know. I'm not trying to sound cliche, but that saying about time does make everything better. It's true. But only thing I can say about my situation that was, a lot of people don't have is that my situation kind of was easier than most people. So I'm not gonna say.
I feel kind of bad because I didn't have any issues with coming out. I was 11 when I came out as a lesbian to my mom, and my mom was like, okay, that's cool.
My dad
talks to me, and when he's talking about the future and stuff, my dad actually says, oh, your wife and you, or you and your wife, or things like that. But it's just, I'm not out, it's just my immediate family. Like, if it was my aunts and my grandparents, it would be crazy.
Yeah, my grandmother, she's like very traditional Mexican. She'd just, you know, get the egg and start rubbing it on me, you know, trying to cure me. And I'm like, my other cousins are gay and everything. Well, only one of them's out. The other one's just a little closet, you know. Mm-hmm. But you know, I told my family, and the way that happened wasn't very, very pretty. But I mean, it wasn't like getting arrested. That doesn't help. You know?
I heard that.
I mean, I have told the other gay cousin about it, and I told my cousin the opposite side of the family. She's like, oh, I don't care, whatever. And I was like, oh, no, that's different. Because she's like, Deer Park and stuff, you know? How they're all like, oh, you're a homosexual? Like, they don't understand what that is. And, you know, I hate the holidays because I'm always with family, and they're always like, oh, so where's your boyfriend? I'm just like,
Awkward taco.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're just like, oh, well, what do I say? One year I said that my boyfriend was in jail, so they stopped asking me questions. And, I mean, I'm actually engaged now, technically, so I can say that I'm engaged and they'll stop asking me questions. So
I know how you feel with that. Like, before I had came out, the one parents all asked me, so do you like any girls in school, or do you have a girlfriend, be looking at them like, sure?
Yeah, like, that's always awkward, and it hurts, too, like, when people are like, oh, yeah, so, your significant other, and you're just like, yeah.
You can say.
Yeah, like.
Honestly, I really don't like that term, significant other. Like,
I don't like it either. I'm just saying, because, you know, who's ever out there? If I'm like, girlfriend, they're like, oh, I'm not a girl, I'm like, well, yeah, but you know, like, holidays are always depressing because you know, you see everyone kissing on the mistletoe, and you're just like, get your life, get out of here. And then, like, then you want to go in the Justin Bieber music video and like, kiss the girl and everything, but that's not gonna happen, you know. But at the same time, short period of time, then
when things start happening for you and you start getting more comfortable, you get better. But everyone says that, you know?
Yeah, and like a thing to also put out there, it's not awesome to come out during the holidays.
Yeah.
Bad idea.
I was going to do that with my family. I was going to actually tell everyone I had cancer and then... just kidding, guys.
No.
I'm gay. And then my mom thought that was a horrible idea. She told me to. My dad, my stepdad, was like, "Oh yeah, do that. That's gonna be funny." And I was like, "People are gonna cry. No, I don't think that's a good idea." And I think I was gonna get like a big box, like a giant box, like 8 feet tall, and like put a whole bunch of like little boxes in it. And when I get to the very bottom, it's like, "You did all this work," and then blah blah blah, gay or whatever. You know, I was going to write something that's, like, cute, so they won't be mad at me.
You'd be like, guess who's gay?
Yeah.
Nice cake you could put out for a coming out party. Guess
right.
who's gay?
That is. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know if I want to do it, because, you know, my mom's side of my family is very, like, they're accepting of, like, my cousin, but they always talk trash about him, so it's, like, I don't want that. And at the same time, they're one of those people that's like, oh, if you bring home a black boy, you know, you're going to hell. And it's like, whoa,
oh my gosh.
Calm down. And then with my dad's family, they're already, like, uncomfortable around me, I guess, because my father doesn't talk to them, so they don't really know what to say. And so if I told them that, that would just make it more awkward. I do not want to be an awkward turtle. No way.
Akko taco.
What about...
For me... I just came out to my family this past summer. As far as being out to friends in general, I don't deny and I don't say yes. I just kind of let them think what they want to think. But as far as my family, it's been really... It was a little awkward at the beginning, but they've come around, so everyone's good with me now, and Thanksgiving was good, and Christmas should be fine. I have my gay uncle that's from California, or great uncle, then flying over, like, it's, I swear, things are so ironic. This past month he called, and he hasn't called in like 5 years, or my grandma hasn't seen him in like 35 years. So, of course, the year I come out, he's coming, happens to be visiting. But anyways, been normal for me.
But you told your extended family?
No, I haven't told my extended family yet. I'm thinking about doing that maybe in the spring.
Yeah, that's good.
It's the Easter surprise.
Guess what?
You know, at the same time, coming out is such like a big deal. It can either be something so small or it can be something so big. Some people get mad when they don't get the reactions that they wanted. Like one of my friends came up to his family. And then his family was like, well, you know, I wanted different things for you, but I accept you. And he got really mad, and he was like, I want to fight. And I was like, you know, that's different, you know?
I can kind of see that. If you've sat there and you've prepared yourself, you know, it's like... It, to some people that figure they're going into battle, so you know, they're like the boxer in the back there, you know, shadow boxing, getting ready, all warmed up, and he gets down to the ring and the bell rings and your opponent drops dead of a heart attack.
Right, or they're like this little skinny child and you're just
It's like, you know what, you know, and I can see where it's like, you know, I went through all this anxiety and that's it.
Yeah, like,
you know? I kind of think of it like saving for money. Like you save, like you work like your ass off for like 3 or 4 months or something like that to save up for a card, and you get there and they're like, oh no, it's the Christmas Day event, so you can get it for free.
Right, yeah, pretty much.
How I came out, it was like, I'm a lesbian, and then they're like, okay. I was like, okay. My mom was just like, I know. And then I was just, like, depressed.
Yeah, no, when I told my dad, I was like, he's like, who do you like? I was like, nobody. And he was like, you mean not a boy? And I was like,
oh.
And I was like, oh.
The way? And,
and then, like, with my mom, it was more like, hey, Mom, whose number is this, honey? Officer Dave. Who? You know, the police? And I was like, she's like, oh, okay, I'll be there in 5 minutes. And I was just like, and then... Like, even now, like, today is a good example. One of my friends came over. I usually don't tell my mom when my friend's coming over, because she usually doesn't care, you know? And what did she say? She got mad at me, because it was a boy. And I was like, "Well, Mom, I'm gay." And I said that, and he was right there. He was like, "Yeah, Miss Altman, she's gay." And she was like, "Shut up, Lewis. You know, be quiet." And he was like, "Okay, okay." And then she was like, "You know, lesbian girls get pregnant roofies or something." Like a, "Oh, hey, I'm not gay anymore." You know, like it doesn't work like that.
No, my parents freak out when I bring boys over, and they're just, I'm just like, I don't.
Exactly, you're like, yo, penises are nasty.
No,
like,
they'll let girls sleep over for like days on end, and they're not even concerned about what we're doing.
Yes, there was one time, remember, there was concern. She had reason to be, right? But you know,
For me, coming out was actually a little different. I'm transgender, so it's a little different from being gay. But I didn't have the best reaction as I wish I did. My reaction was really bad. I came out in the worst time you could possibly to come out, on vacation. I was in the middle of a panic attack, and I was freaking out, crying. It was really bad. And finally, my mom asked me, "Okay, what's wrong with you?" And I said, "I'm transgender." And then she said, "Okay, that's who you are. I accept you." But when I started talking about trans-related things, she did not take it that well. When I asked her, a month later, I told her, I was like, "Okay, so when are you going to let me start taking testosterone?" Never. She's like, "I'm not giving you up. You're my baby girl. You're this, you're that." Just not very well. Now, over some time, it's been about 6 months now, she's fine. She's better than she was. She knows I'm about to start testosterone in January. And she still won't call me by my proper name and pronouns, but she's doing better. But my family, everyone knows I'm transgender. When I came out, I told the whole world I was not about to stay in any longer. Most people still think I'm in a phase, and they don't believe me. My grandparents are the worst. They refuse to think of me as a man, which really hurts. And my dad's side of the family, they kind of just rejected me altogether. They disowned me. So that's a long story that I'm not going to go into. But overall, I have a gay uncle as well, and I live with him, and he calls me right name and pronouns. So that makes my life that makes it all better, because I live with him, and I can hear the right name and pronouns every day. So, and I come to Hatch, and that helps a lot.
Yeah, Hatch is a beautiful really place. Good. It's like a Garden of Eden.
It'll probably help more when you actually start the hormone therapy and that, and that you. I hate to say it in a way so it doesn't sound bad, but that you start presenting more masculine.
Yeah.
And that would, and once that starts to happen, that would probably help with more people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
And they will start believing.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Dan. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But congratulations on your testosterone.
That's thank good you. That's I have my first doctor's appointment Friday.
Awesome.
This point. Yes. Hey.
I'm glad.
To meet my doctor and everything. So it's really awesome.
I would go in and just be like, "Give it to me now."
That's kind of my plan. Just like, okay, so when can I get it?
Doctors like to do that thing where they're like, "Oh, this is just
evaluation.
Yeah, you just came here. You're going to get it in a couple months." Like,
no, bro.
What's going on? Oh, I want that. But.
Well, the place I'm going to is pretty much a straightforward hormone therapy clinic. So everybody told me to go to like somewhere else, like go like to an actual doctor, which of course it's a doctor, but it says this doctor specializes in it. So when I get there, they already know what I want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't have to go through like, okay, so I'm transgender, I want hormone therapy. Oh no, we're gonna wait 6 months and make sure you seriously want this. No, I'm going in there and saying, "Hey, you know why I'm here. I want my testosterone, but let's get on the ball."
Yeah.
Like, how long does it take to make a full turnover?
You start having results within 2 weeks.
Oh, that's wow. Cool.
Your voice starts dropping immediately.
Testosterone is a very powerful hormone. It's more powerful than estrogen is. That's why female to male transgenders usually, quote unquote, pass better than male to female because of the strength of their testosterone.
I've heard that male to female takes a lot longer than female to male. Like, how long does it take for an entire, like, turnover?
Well, it depends on what you're getting done. There's the options of going through surgery. I know this because for a long time we had a transgender segment on our show. And, you know, it depends on whether you're just going to go through the hormone replacement and with female to male, going through double mastectomy get the upper surgery done and not worry about the lower surgery or going through that. Because if you go through the full process, it's usually about a 2-year evaluation. And you have to spend 1 year living in the gender that you're transitioning to. And present as in that gender.
Oh yeah, I've talked to a couple different people who are like in that middle stage where they have to present as that, and it seems tough and like hard on you, but at the same time it's like, damn girl, you got some strength.
Yeah, like I have a friend who's trans, and he has to go in the restroom in the office. Because
kids don't make fun of them.
Yeah, it's really hard and difficult. Whenever I came out, my first time I came out was last year on Christmas, where I said I was bisexual when really I don't like guys at all. My mom already knew it. My mom told me she knew I was a dyke since I was 3.
She used that word.
Yeah.
That's loving.
Right? It don't bother me.
It doesn't?
No.
It doesn't bother me when people use, like, you know, butch, dyke, but at the same time, like, it's just lesbian, man.
Unnecessary.
Yeah, but it's you put yourself in a butch is someone that looks more manly. So I don't know. But that's what they told me she already knew. So it didn't bother me. So when I came out, they had no problems. They're like, okay, you know what? I accept you, you know, whatever. Okay, so the more and more I started actually dressing how I wanted to and everything, they kind of started backing up, saying, hey, why are you dressing like this? Why?
They started to play stupid.
Yeah, yeah, they're like, I was like, okay, I grew up wearing guys' clothes. I was called her son growing up because I would always wear my hair short. I never had long hair. And then when I came out as transgender, they all freaked out, like, oh, who the hell are you? I mean, they're just like, who are you to sit here and say you don't want to be a girl? I was like, do I ever wear dresses? Have I ever wore dresses? Have I ever liked makeup? Have I ever liked anything? No. I was like, then what's the shock?
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of people take it different ways. Like, with my mom, I mean, this is not a great example, but, or like a good influence, but like, I had girls over like all the time, and, you know, whatever, and then I knew that she knew, like, I could tell, but she didn't ever said anything about it, and she would just be, oh, you meet the right guy. You know, what kind of birth control do you want? Let's look. And I would just be like, Mom, let's talk for a second. It's not going to happen. And she's like, oh, no, it's just a phase, honey. And my mom is supposed to be, everyone says she's the most supportive, you know, LGBT, like, supportive person out there. And then, like, when it comes to, like, her kid, she's just very in denial. And she's still, like, today she got mad about boy being over. And I was like, yeah, that's, I don't know what you expect me to do, but it's not going to happen. And I'm not trying to, this sounds really bad, but at the same time I can kind of sympathize with it. Like, all the kids in my family have children at a very young age, like anywhere from like 16 to 18. And I think she was hoping that I was going to have a kid, like, not super young, but like, you know, soon-ish. And that, so, you know, I can see, like, her frustration, or not frustration, just disappointment with that. But at the same time, it's like, no, like, I'm going to do what I have to do. And sometimes, you know, it's not a selfish act at all, but it's like, you have to do what you have to do. And a lot of people feel bad about, you know, oh, I'm disappointing my family, you know, I'm doing this, no, they're going to disown me, they're going to, you know, do this to me. But at the same time, like, pursuit of happiness is everything. You have to be able to do the things that, you know, put you in an awkward position if you want to be happy. And a lot of people just are willing to sacrifice their happiness for other people's happiness. And in some points, you know, that's not the worst thing you can do, but in a situation like that, it's definitely not something you should do. You know?
I get that.
You definitely gotta make yourself happy. You gotta do whatever you want for yourself. You get to a point in your life where you get fed up with trying to make everyone else happy, because in reality, you can't make anybody else happy. You can only make yourself happy.
Yeah, it's not, a lot of people, you know, if they want to be successful or happy, they fake it till they make it type thing, but it's not that type of situation. The more you fake it, the more unhappy you will be, and, like, it'll just lead to darker paths, like, you know, drug addiction or, like, mm-hmm. you know, alcohol addiction, and some people, like, resort to, like, sexual suicide. Abuse and suicide and stuff like that, and, like...
You forget who you are.
Yeah, and you forget, yeah, exactly, you lose yourself, and... Is that really worth it because of something? And once you go down so deep through that path, you're like, oh, well, I did it because of this. I wouldn't even care.
Like, it's like, no, you didn't. Yeah. That's what they'll think. They'll be like, oh, that probably never happened. All of that. It's just, you need to, before you try to make anyone else happy, you need to take care of yourself and try to learn love yourself and know who you are.
Yeah, and self-love. Mm-hmm. It's all about that self-love. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the same time, people... Self-love is so hard because everyone has insecurities. Everyone has, you know, they loathe themselves at certain points, like, oh, it's just me, so fat, you know, I'm too skinny, you know, everything. Yeah, no. Anything from, like, the smallest detail to the biggest imperfection will people make or break people. And more people are more sensitive than others, you know, but at the same time, sexuality is such a big deal for anyone. The strongest person can be torn down by that.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter who you are. Like, and it's definitely something that you don't have to put a label on. I mean, really, you like who you like, and you know, you're not, you, there is no, like, oh, I'm gay now, I'll be straight tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's just whoever you like, you like, and whoever decides to put you a label, or if you decide to give yourself a label, or if someone else decides you to, you know, then that's there or yours doing, but you don't have to follow it if you don't want to.
And sexuality is not always really a category or slots that you fit into. It's more, I think, a spectrum, kind of like a spectrum of light. You know, you have one and the other, so you can be anywhere in between. So you don't want to limit yourself to what you like, because you don't know, it might change and it might not, but don't feel the need to have to label yourself because you don't know what you'll feel the next time.
And that's the same thing with gender. Your gender, you could be bigender, agender, pangender, male, female to male to female. I mean, there's not, you don't always have to label yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's definitely not a choice to be gay or anything. It's the choice is whether you want to act upon that, those feelings or not.
But even act upon, that's so, like...
Actually, the first choice is acknowledging it.
Yeah, that's like the first step.
When it comes to, if you're going to put choices into it, your first choice is, do you accept the feelings you have, the understanding you have, the reasoning of the situation? Yeah. And that's the choice part. Whether or not you choose to acknowledge it, and whether eventually you act upon it or don't act upon it or repress it to that level. That's the choice. You know, the other part's ingrained in with mm-hmm. with the fiber of your being.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the color of your hair. You know, you can change it. You can try to change all you want, but it's still going to grow back the same.
Yeah.
Your roots are going to be the same. You're going to, whatever you prefer, that's what you're going to have to prefer. I mean, you can't force yourself to have feelings for something you don't care for. And it's like, you know, it's kind of like, for example, if you were Mexican and you want to become white, like, you can't do that. You are what you are. Like, and people, you know, will be like, oh, no, yeah, I'm white. It's like, oh, no, homegirl, you're not. You're Mexican. But, like, it's just an example, but it's... Labels are so hurtful at the same time, and internal homophobia is such a big deal. And even after you acknowledge who you are, it's still very it's still a very difficult process to go through.
You still have a lot of people that, even if you accept who you are, that doesn't mean other people are going to accept who you are.
Exactly.
So after you figure out who you are and you have to, I don't want to say prove to the rest of the world that you're who you are, but you have to maybe stand up to other people that maybe don't agree with what your opinion is or how you feel. So no one said being gay or lesbian or trans or whatever would be easy, but...
Or like even straight. It's
however you, being a teenager, no matter what you are, is difficult. It makes it 10 times more difficult when you're LGBT, but, you know, it's life, and it gets better, and so everything works out.
I was just saying, I actually found that with people that have more homophobia, whatever word, that they're, like, homophobic, yeah, that's it, actually have more gay tendencies or...
Yeah.
Exactly. Have you always said tendencies than straight, like people who know they're straight? Because I have a lot of straight friends, but they don't really care that I'm gay. They will just, they just treat me like,
yeah,
a regular friend, so it's like they don't really care. When I see people that are like, I was sitting in the cafeteria, and one of the people at the school actually moved tables because I sat there because I'm waiting for my friends to come to the line. I'm kind of lazy, so I want to sit down, but I come go up to the line because when I went to the line, I was like one of the first people there because my class had to pretty much walk. But anyway, there was at the end, I was waiting for them to come out. So I was sitting at the table. I had sat next to this person. I didn't even know them, and they had moved to a different table because they know I'm openly gay at school, and. What was kind of funny to me is that it's mostly the people like that that actually have more gay feelings, but they don't want to express them. They want people to, they were so afraid that somebody may think they're gay or
definitely
know a gay friend.
Paranoid.
Yeah.
I've had multiple friends, actually, who, when I was first coming out to them, and I was really unsure. I was like, oh, no. Yeah, I like guys and girls. They were like, oh, well, that's weird. And I was like, oh, is it really, honestly? And then later to figure out, like a couple of years later, they're all coming to me and they rejected me a lot. They were like, oh, well, that's weird. I don't want to talk about it with you. You know, you can like what you like, but don't bring it around me. And I was like, okay, well, that's hurtful, but whatever. And stopped talking to them for a little while. And then, you know, high school comes and they're all, oh, yeah, this is a really cute boy. Wait, what did you say? Excuse me, I didn't catch that. And they're like, oh, yeah, I know. I like guys, like, and I'm just like, oh, really? You know, that's convenient to know now, you know, whatever. And it's, you know, it is not to say that everybody who is, you know, a little off-putted by that is gay or bisexual or anything, but some people are just not as comfortable with it. Some people have grown up to... It's one of those things where until you're completely exposed to, you really have a hard time believing it exists.
I think that's another thing about, I'm not going to say it like this, but y'all country or this country or whatever, I think it goes to an exposure factor because I noticed that a lot of the things we see on TV or in the media or whatever, people get used to it like that. And when they see it in real life, it's easier for them to adjust to it. But I think it's because, like, betweening GLBT community, not community, but like things itself, it's not really on TV that much. It's rarely on TV, and it's like you have to go through hell to get it there.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty much the main reason it's not really, not so much receptive, but hard to get used to, is because not that many people are like.
We don't have an example to hold up to look at.
Yeah.
You know, the big commentary, some people who are opposed to our community is, you know, forcing sexuality upon younger people, you know, teenagers and tweenagers in some instances. And I watch some TV commercials and it's like...
Excuse me?
That's, okay, heterosexism of, you know, preteens, and it's like, that's considered acceptable?
Right, like that always has off-putted me about how
the commercial, like where you can see like a half naked person, as long as it's a straight commercial, but you see like two guys, girls, or whatever, like even holding hands or something like that.
It's like
who are like rated X or something like that, just because of like their
hood. Right, and that's always like been confusing to me because people are always like, "Oh, gay kids and LGBT people, they put sexuality in your face." It's like when there's songs and TV and all that good stuff about straight couples. How's that? What are you talking about? You, like, but and like what?
All right, let's step out for a moment. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hello, darling. Well, hello, darling. It's so nice to be back home where I belong. You are looking swell, hearing. I can tell, Danny. You're still growing, you're still growing, you're still going strong. I feel this room swaying, cause the band's playing one of my old favorite songs from way back when. So, here's my hat, fellas, Carol, stay where she's at, Phil.
Miss Darling, this is Lucy, Miss Darling. It's so nice to have you back, thank you so loud. You're looking swell.
Thanks.
Darling, I can tell.
Okay.
Darling, you're still growing,
I'm still growing.
She's still going strong. She feels the room.
I feel the room swaying.
For the band.
Oh, I know the band. One of my old
favorite
songs from way back when. Shout,
bridge that gap, fellas.
Find me an empty lap, fellas. Jolly, you'll never go away.
Jolly will never go away.
I'll never go away again.
Well, we're going to be talking about New Year's resolutions, and one of the things I'm going to be doing for mine is, this might sound kind of, if you was to look at me, you kind of sound like this would be ridiculous, but I'm going to kind of go on a diet, but not a diet, just a diet away from like junk foods and stuff like that.
Like for health reasons?
Yeah. No, not for health reasons, just.
Well,
just to feel healthier?
Yeah. Yeah. So for health reasons?
But I don't know, it's because like whenever I like eat fast food or any kind of like junkish food in a way, I kind of feel like baddish. Not baddish, but like, you know how like when you eat something, it kind of does feel like
you feel lazy.
Yeah.
And you're like in a food coma. Yeah, I feel.
But yeah, and yeah, the main reason doing this because my mom kind of like not forcing me but kind of like
encouraging.
Yeah, because she kind of almost gone full on vegetarian. All I mean, she eats now is like turkey and like, you know, like really the meat that's really that's good for you, and she kind of like buys it more organic. I don't know if that makes any difference at all, but that's what she buys. It does kind of taste better, but I don't know if it's just the way she's cooking it or like what. But anyway, she's kind of started on that because we only eat like any type of meat like almost once every week, and the rest of it she feels like, right, like rice. My dad kind of cooks like a lot of different foods because he's Hispanic, so he kind of like cook a lot of traditional foods from his farm. And my mom's French and Indian. She mostly cooks food from over there, but Rita, I actually got in touch with the part that's Indian me. I have no idea about that part, but I have gotten in touch with Hispanic and French. But anyway, those are most of the foods I eat. To be honest with you, I really don't like American food that much. Only because, like, a lot of it is more, like,
junk?
Fatty. Yeah.
Like, drive-thru, like McDonald's? Yeah.
I don't eat McDonald's.
What are you talking about? Everyone eats McDonald's.
I don't eat
McDonald's at all.
I'm talking about even vegetarians. They'll go get the hash browns. I don't eat McDonald's.
Well, okay, crap. New Year's resolution to eat McDonald's.
Yeah.
No, I ate McDonald's before. I just don't like it.
Okay, well, you know.
But I can't say that because I eat... The only thing I do eat is the ice cream. Okay. I like their sundae.
It's a good choice. You're doing good.
My New Year's resolution is to start testosterone.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's
a good one.
And also to change legally change my name.
To what?
Well, my name's Dre, but my birth name is different.
Oh, okay. I was just making sure. I didn't know which one was which.
So I didn't have a question. Can you legally change your gender?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can.
It costs extra.
It costs money to change who you are.
Yeah.
It's funny.
They have to go in and if you change your name, it's just, you know, changing your driver's license and information on your social security card. Changing your gender means going back and changing your birth certificate.
Well, and actually in Texas, you can't. I've done my research. Mm-hmm. In Texas, you cannot change your birth certificate. Yeah, there you go. Because they won't do it. They'll make it stay on there that... you're still female. You're born a female, but you transformed into a male.
Hmm.
But they won't change it. In any other state, you can, but they won't in Texas.
Yeah, it's just Texas
conservative.
You can still marry your cousin in Texas.
What?
Yeah,
you can marry. Your...
Hmm.
That's nasty.
But yeah, it's ridiculous and.
But in a way, I kind of, well, I don't agree with it, but the way I'm coming from is that I really don't think it should cost money to like, change who you are at all. Like,
yeah.
To me, it's kind of like, you didn't, like, pick your name or pick anything. You kind of, like, had no choice but to take that. And it's kind of like,
it's yours.
Why should you have to, like, pay to change who you want to be?
Well, it's legal documents. You have to go through a lawyer, go through a judge. I think I need like $50 to change your name.
It's about $230.
$230 to change the name? Okay. Last I heard it's been a while, so yeah, of course all that's going to go up in price.
New Year's resolution. I think I'm going to try to work on my relationship skills. Those are like in the toilet, man. Hard.
No, my New Year's resolution last year, I guess, was to become more comfortable with them and then eventually come out. And then I only had one or two friends last year that I would talk with at all about it. So this summer was a pretty busy summer, and this year, you know, I just turned 17 a month ago, and I'll be turning 18 next November. So excited about that. And going to work on relationship skills. I'm pretty school-related. I bury myself in my sport, so I'm trying to balance it out maybe.
I have one more resolution. It's kind of like a long... shot that people may say like kind of like not impossible like but really hard. I have one to be a professional singer, so that's one of the main things I'm shooting for too. Singing stuff.
Go for it, honey. No testing change, just one. The voice, you got it.
Oh man, no, I love her.
She's super fine.
Actually gonna be honestly I was gonna be uploading a video pretty soon, but I'm still kinda like going through it and make sure it's, well, not perfect, but, like, good. So,
right, yeah.
Probably upload on YouTube, at least before the end of the year, I'll try to do that. But I'll probably try to do it in London, that way I can get, like, that.
That London vibe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel.
But I feel like I miss my country more than anything, so.
Are you going to be back?
Yeah. No, I'm not moving back, just visiting. No, it's because my Amy and, pretty much half my family lives over there, because my mom's side of family lives there.
Okay.
Were you born here?
No.
Well, you don't have, did you move here when you were young?
Yeah, about when I was 9 or 10, I'm gonna say. So.
You don't have much of an accent.
Yeah.
I know, I lost it. Actually, when I get mad, or like, if you really just talk to me for a long time, you can tell I have an accent, but most people can tell where it's from. Pretty much why mine went away is because my mom kind of forced hers to went away. If you ever met people in London, that came here, you'll find out a lot of them hate their accents and they want to lose it. So you'll find out a lot of people that come from London don't really have an accent no more because they don't want it.
That's so weird. There are some people that are like from, like, you know, upper Texas that try to lose their accents. I personally don't think a southern accent is attractive. I think it makes you sound dumb. But, like, you know, I admire people who do that. It's cool.
Yeah,
New Year's resolution,
then? I think school should be my priority because I did very badly on my final. No cheating.
I gotta be honest. I totally cheated.
Took pictures of the answers.
I didn't go that far.
That's not okay, by the way.
Yeah, it was a guessing check. It was not like, oh, look, yeah, just do it. Like, I did it, and then I checked. And then I fixed the ones that were wrong.
Yeah, I got it. My lowest grade was a 23.
Oh, my God. Do you even go to school?
I do. I do go to school. Yep.
How were your parents with that one?
My parents, she doesn't like that lady, so she's like, well, she would fail anyone, so... I'm not really
in trouble.
No, because like everyone in the class failed.
Oh,
so there's something wrong with that.
That bad. Okay, well, yeah, that makes it a little bit.
Better. I got actually a pretty decent grade compared to everyone else.
Oh, wow.
It's so sad. But
does she like sleep or something during teaching?
She's just a horrible person. She doesn't teach us anything. She's like, go online. I was like, I don't have a computer. She's like, I don't care.
What school you go to?
I don't think that's information.
She doesn't have to share what she doesn't want to.
My New Year's resolution is to kind of get on the ball because I was pretty sick. I missed 2 weeks of school in September, so that kind of threw me off. But then when I got back on track, I just got lazy. So,
oh,
yeah, it's like work. So.
That's really good, isn't it? I'm changing mine. Well, I'm adding to it. You're going to school. Actually, I'm going to start auditioning for a performing arts high school for next year, and I need to focus on that. Kill them. Twinsies, hashtag. But, I mean, I want to work on that, and also I tend to, like, commit to things, and then I'll start getting okay at them, and then I'll, like, you know, be like, oh, yeah, I've already done that, you know?
That's, like, kind of the same thing I do. I'll, like, say I'm going to do something, I do really good at it at first, then kind of, like, start, like, putting off to a little bit.
Yeah, but like I'll be in that type of environment, so it'll like get me to push myself. But I also want to like do other things as well. And if I do that, I won't be able to. So I have to kind of pick and choose at this point. So that's gonna be difficult. But you know,
what you want to?
Life is all choices.
Audition for
theater. You know, I'm excited about that. You know, just being totally fake all the time.
Sounds like
fun.
I actually will admit that it does sound like fun. Like to pretend like you're someone else, or like a little bit.
A little bit.
Because I don't have to deal with being gay. That sounds awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Being gay is awesome.
Yeah,
it
is.
It really is. It's fun once you get cool with it.
It is.
There's other cool people.
And meet other gay people.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
It is.
Wink, wink.
The community is somewhat, such a...
Friendly
group of people. There's so many different people. I mean, it's amazing.
The people that aren't friendly, you know. Forget you, like CeeLo Green says. You know.
And if you are from the ages of 13 to just under 21, a good place where you can meet your peers and find a supportive location for you is Hatch.
Of course.
Definitely. It's so fun. I love it.
It's not it's not one of those things of like, oh, you're not a member, like get. Like, it's not even a member thing. Walk-ins, welcome. And I know when people say that, it's a little uncomfortable. But, I mean, your first time, it'll be a little different. You'll feel... like, oh wow, this is what I got myself into, and then you'll get used to it, and you'll just feel the love. You will really feel comfortable with yourself, and it's hard to find places like that. So, like, Hatch is one of the best places you can be at if you want to feel comfortable, talk about any, you know, thing that's on your mind that you couldn't really feel comfortable talking about with anyone else, any of your friends or you know.
Your peers who know what you're going through because they're going through it themselves or they went through it last week.
Right.
So how do you get in contact with Hatch?
Again, to get in contact.
I was waiting
to see
if it was going to stop.
The number is 713-529-3590. And again, that's 713-529-3590. The website for the Montrose Center is www.montrosecenter.org, and the website for Hatch is www.hatchyouth.org.
And you can also find them on Facebook. Just do a search of Hatch Youth or Hatchling, which is the one that we connect to on our the After Hours Facebook page. First name Hatch, last name Ling. And phone number to the Montrose Center is
713-529-0037. Again, 713-529-0037. And that's for the Montrose Center.
And they're able to help you during normal business hours with therapy, with addiction recovery, domestic abuse, hate crime recovery, and it's for all ages. We have groups from Hatch for the youth up to Spry for the senior citizens. But if you if you're in a crisis mode 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you need to find someone who can help you with that, that's the Gay Lesbian Switchboard.
713-529-3211. 713-529-3211.
And that number is, like I said, they're answered 24 hours a day. If you're in a severe crisis, you're in life or death crisis mode, it's 911. But if you need to get a referral to a therapist, get a referral to finding a place where you can pick up the newspapers of our community, coffee house, any of those type of establishments, organizations out there, the switchboard can help you with finding those resources. All right. We'll just edit out this little part where I'm going asking him the questions. So we're about ready to wrap up here. Anyone have any shout outs you want to give at the beginning of the new year for 2014?
Be awesome.
Yeah, just be trying to get comfortable with who you are and, cool beans. Just go with it.
Be yourself.
I'm not trying to be, an inspirational speaker or anything, but I felt that, life is too short, to live a life that you want, someone else wants you to live. So, just basically shoot for what you want.
Shoot for the stars.
And just remember to be happy. It's the main goal of your life.
All easy, but not easily done. So, struggles are real, but times are tough. But, at the end of it, you come out being you, hopefully.
Yeah. And like they say, the things that are hardest are the best, and the things that are easiest are easily lost.
That's smooth.
All right, thank y'all, Hatch.
Adam's Apple offers animal rescue, food, shelter, and medical care to rescued and abandoned animals in Cleveland, Texas. It is a no-kill facility and aims at a 100% adoption rate for the animals. The Animal Rescue and Sanctuary provides a community service by removing unwanted animals from situations that may ultimately cause them to lose their lives by offering them a safe, loving, and caring environment where they receive food, shelter, and medical services that are needed while they are waiting to be adopted. You can donate online at adamsappleanimals.org. You can call at 832-524-0447 for more information. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Painted eyes with such precision, longer legs than any girl I know. Squishing down the old camp road with her hips on overload, making sure the loneliness don't show. She was never he, for as long as I remember, she was never of her gender categorically. She was never he. Though the boys at school were cruel, you would have to be a fool not to see that she
was never. Jody, she was Kelsey Grease, the fool the boys was such a breeze, deep inside her heart the terror flew. What if he should realize, break her heart or black her eyes, these things are so important for a girl to know. She was never he, for as long as I remember, she was never of her gender categorically. She was never he, though this world can be so cruel, you would have to be a fool not to see. And the government says you no longer exist. It's a kick in the eye. It's the final twist of the surgeon's knife. Welcome to my glamorous life. She was never he. All as long as I remember, she was never of her gender categorically. She was never he. Though this world can be so cruel, you would have to be a fool not to see. She was never he. For as long as I remember, she was never of her gender categorically. She was never he. Though this world can be so cruel, you would have to be a fool not to see that she was never.
You are listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 90.3 Livingston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. We're going to do a piece of music, and we'll be back with Roundtable.
Going for days and days. Follow the bliss, time for round table.
It is?
Yes, cool. They've let us out of our cage again.
But.
Unfortunately.
Love you too.
But I still have the straitjacket on.
Shh. This is what we're here for.
All right.
Your jacket, that's the only thing that's straight about you.
Yeah.
True.
I keep trying to introduce my nephew to the fact that get used to a coat that buttons in the back.
It's all the rage in Paris.
We're going to start off with politics in the world with Roundtable tonight.
Oh, there's a way to start off the new year.
But they don't let me speak politics anymore after I threw that brick at that one thing that we don't speak about.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this got two interesting stories. First one here is that it also kind of borders on the topic we like covering every once in a while about outing people.
Oh, yes.
Representative Aaron Schock of Illinois, Republican, locked down his Instagram account today amid renewed rumors on social media that he is gay. Rumors that Congressman Schock are not new, and the reason that they continue is purely because of his positions on issues such as marriage equality, and being an out gay man would also make him a very public hypocrite.
Be kind of shocking, wouldn't it?
I was fighting the bad pun so hard.
Not only
and then Jose pulls it.
He's alleged for being gay because of the fact he is a pretty boy who has appeared in Men's Health magazine, shirtless, working out.
Ooh. Oh, red flag.
he logged down his Instagram account because there was pictures of him getting worked over or what?
No. let's see if it's got the reason.
No, everybody's got a different idea
two
of what a workout.
Yeah, there's two parts of it that came to it. Let me finish with it. Not only is Schock opposed to same-sex marriage, but he supports a federal marriage amendment, opposed the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, opposes the repeal of DOMA, and voted against adding sexual orientation to federal hate crime statutes. Many of the gaming rumors surrounding Schock seem to be tied to his obsessive attention to his body, as well as that of other Republican congressmen. Schock, who has been accused of misusing campaign funds to further an exercise habit, flaunted the results of that regimen in Men's Health cover story last May, which became known as Congressman with the Abs. In June 2010, a photo of Schock at the White House picnic in white jeans and aqua belt, a purple gingham shirt, posted by Gawker, sent the gay rumors into overdrive. Schock later tweeted that he burned the belt after the photo went viral. Schock has also denied he's gay. The latest rumors were brought to a head today, so to speak, after a post on Facebook by journalist Ite Hode went viral. Here's what Hode said in the post. Here's a hypothetical. What if you know a certain GOP congressman, let's just say from Illinois, is gay? And you know this because one of your friends, a journalist with a reputable network, told you in no uncertain terms that he caught that GOP congressman and his male roommate in the shower together. Now, they could have been good friends just trying to conserve water. But
that's what I was thinking.
But there's
more. Nothing wrong with that. Remember, Brad.
Boy, that was a stretch.
No, because there's always a drought on, right?
What if this congressman had also been caught by TMZ cameras trolling gay bars? Now, what if you know that this very same guy, the darling of the GOP, has also voted against repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, opposed the repeal of DOMA, is against gay marriage, and is for the federal marriage amendment, which would add language to the U.S. Constitution banning gay marriage and would likely strike down every gay rights law and ordinance in the country. Are we still not allowed to out him? Let me ask another question. Doesn't the media have an obligation to expose his hypocrisy? If he had done something so hypocritical and wasn't gay, wouldn't we demand journalists to do their job, but they can't? Because we won't let them? We're not allowed to out anyone, we tell them? If we created the situation where even though news organizations know this guy is gay, they can't report it because he hasn't said it so on Twitter. But if we keep saying that being gay is genetic, ergo there's no difference in having blue eyes or blonde hair, then why are we not allowed to mention it? Why do we need anyone's consent to talk about their sexuality? Are we not allowed to say someone has blue eyes until they post a Facebook message telling them the fact that they're blue? Hode's post to Facebook appears to have been inspired by a post blogger John Arvalos posted on Ameriblog on Thursday, which he hypothesized that Schock may be gay based on interpretations of photos from his Instagram account. Basically, he posted a list of the 7 or 10 gayest Instagram photos that Sharon Shock posted.
Hmm.
10 gayest photos?
You know, really,
well, then.
People.
So, 10 best photos.
Okay.
Were they safe for work?
Yes. We're talking Shock, not...
Aw.
No, we're talking Shock. We're talking Shock, not Carlos Danger.
We have talked about that whole outing thing before.
Yes.
On occasion.
I don't know. Part of me kind of feels it.
Where?
Should,
what is the line, really? Because you know, it hypocrisy. If you can prove these things, if there are photographs
yes.
of somebody, you know, French kissing their boyfriend or whatever. Or
you're not going to be satisfied until we get the Inflecto Grande out here.
You see, my problem isn't with the actual statement of it all. It's with one of the statements that's in it, which is the entire being compared to telling people that you have blue eyes. I just feel that's not quite a...
strong enough analogy.
Yeah.
Well, the basis of that was the fact that we homosexuals claim that our homosexuality is genetic. It's not something that occurs. Mm. So it's trying to say
that like blue eyes are genetic, then or something like that. Anyway.
And what the senator's trying to say, it's not true until it's Facebook.
No, the people are saying this. It's the representative Shock is claiming he is not.
No, it's not true until it shows up on Tumblr.
It has to be Facebook official. Okay. Yeah.
Everything shows up on Tumblr.
No,
it's like relationships in high school.
Well, the joke on there was Twitter, is the fact that, you know, he hasn't come out on a tweet that yet.
What's a Twitter?
Yeah, I just... It's a weird balance because, you know, if you're intentionally saying and doing things which... are, and you know, there are those of us who believe the things these people say do harm us. If they in their own private worlds are being the people that they are railing against,
right?
It's a rather fine line. It's like, you know, somebody should be called on their stuff on some level. You know, where is that line of privacy?
Right.
Privacy. I mean, if somebody is, because people listen to that stuff and they believe these people and the damage that they do, and sometimes other people who are kind of woohoo in the head
yes.
act on the words of some of these more extreme people. You know? So, well, go ahead.
No.
And when they do, you know, and if somebody is causing that kind of damage, they need to be called on it. To me, you know, they need to be called on it. But I don't know what.
But on the same note, you know, talking about the pictures and whatever, you know, we've seen what Photoshop
absolutely
can do.
Yeah.
And
welcome to the world of technology.
That's it. You know, and.
Oh,
no,
Photoshop.
Some of his the pictures that they're talking about are ones that either he did,
okay,
or okay. Some of these pictures, like I was just pulling up here and showing Wes, is from a GQ spread. Damn you, GQ! Damn you all. You know, so there are, and like I said, the front cover of Men's Health. You know.
I would have thought the wardrobe, the ones where he's actually wearing clothes and they come in the pride colors, you know?
Well, I mean, as I said, you know.
Remember, if it's on the internet,
well,
you can't get it back.
That's a very bright belt.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's the aqua belt that he burned.
Oh.
What?
Allegedly burned.
No, he claims he admitted he burned it.
He probably
if
went.
There's
and,
no
like,
pictures, it didn't happen.
Thank you.
I need picture.
Did he not tweet that picture?
So what is he, a gym rat or what? I mean...
Gym nut.
One,
that's eight.
That's eight? Okay. That's an eight pack on here.
Ooh, wow.
Ooh.
Apparently a gym. How much of it looks Photoshopped?
8 of them.
It might have been airbrushed a little bit.
No, because this one was a selfie. There's one from Men's Health, and
yep, there's the 8 again.
He's very he's not incredibly old. He's late 20s, I think, is what it is.
Oh, well, he is.
This other picture I just saw, yeah, that would be late 20s.
Yeah,
maybe. I'm sorry, 32.
30 or early 30s.
32.
Nice.
Oh.
Anywho.
Yeah. I was going to say 30s.
So let's step away from that part and go to the next part of who wants to run this place?
Oh, boy. Me.
Where the point... Where
now,
everything's made up and the points don't matter?
Let me warn you that the commentary I'm going to be reading to you from...
is not QWERTY.
It's not QWERTY, but this one makes QWERTY look...
tame?
Conservative.
Oh, wow.
That's future Congressman Clay Aiken to you. Thank you very much.
Oh,
what?
Every lifelong Claymate packed up her green Subaru Outback wagon, said goodbye to all of her cats, strapped her clay doll into the passenger seat, hiked up her mom jeans, and sang a few bars of Mary Did You Know, a.k.a. the official hymn of Claymates, and headed for North Carolina to join Team Clay Gaken for Congress. The Washington Blade says Clay Aiken is actively considering running for Congress. I wish Clay would shift his priorities and actively consider using some tweezers to get those overgrown eyebrows to a cuter place before he considers running for Congress. But if everything went my way, I would have two.
Hold up.
Whoever that is, they're not old enough to have ever seen Pat Moynihan. Okay.
Tell me, hold up. Every time he has a speech, I want him.
Wait. The sentence isn't finished yet.
He's not done yet. Give it a second.
He can't breathe. I have one.
Wait, no.
There's more.
To get those overgrown eyebrows to a cuter place before he considers running for Congress. But if everything went my way, I would have two bee holes and be locked up in a lube factory with the double dick dude from Reddick.
So, are you reading from Delisted?
Yes, I am.
Double.
Yes, that exists.
The Washington Blade source says
it was on Reddit. I'm surprised you
didn't
see it.
Let me see that picture again.
Yeah, I'm trying to scroll. That is, here's fighting.
That is a very lovely site. I recommend it to everybody.
Okay. Anywho, my main thing about all of this one is... Oh, no, train of thought, gone.
The Washington Blade source says that 35-year-old Clay, who's from Raleigh, has met with the political types and have talked to Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee about possibly running for a House seat in North Carolina's 2nd Congressional District. Clay is so serious he's been working with political strategist Betsy Conte and he took his ass to Washington, D.C. to look at polling data with a partner from Heart Research Associates.
Polling data?
What kind of
now,
polling?
Remember for the rumors there, he's a top.
Okay, just because you're right on top doesn't mean you are the top, all right?
No, remember the controversy before he came out? Some guy supposedly picked him up on Craigslist and has a towel with Aiken juice.
Nice.
So what is this, like the Shroud of Turin? Come on.
Well, Clay didn't win American Idol. And he didn't win a celebrity. But hope he finally breaks his losing streak and wins that House seat because he'll probably sing out all of his arguments on the Congress floor.
And
when he starts to debate, the musical notes waft out of his mouth. Every straight old white congressman in there won't be able to resist him, and the ovaries they did not know they had would start to shake the 1,000 different ways. They will all become instant claymates. Besides, Clay has everything it takes to be a politician. He doesn't have any political experience. We've already seen pictures of him showing off his baked carrot coin nipples to a trick on webcam.
Woo!
He's the perfect politician material. Swear him in.
And he's a single dad.
And he'll probably get another blowy under the desk.
Yep.
We can just repeat all the history.
Those pages won't know what hit them.
Well, you know, somebody has to take Barney Frank's place.
True.
At some point.
So Clay Aiken for Congress. I can't wait to see Fox News' coverage of that story.
I'm just waiting for one of their heads.
I think all their heads just exploded.
I know.
Which head?
No, that was the story before this one.
Yeah. That's right. Okay.
I wonder how.
Keep up, darling.
Yeah. More Houston news.
Put the squirrel down.
Houston news.
A federal judge on Thursday denied a request for a stay that would have halted spousal benefits for gay Houston City employees. U.S. District Judge Lee Rosenthal considered the request after the case was moved from state court to the federal court by the defendants, Mayor Anise Parker and the City of Houston. Harris County GOP Chair Jared Woodfell, on behalf of taxpayers Jack Pigeon and Larry Hicks, sued Parker and the city in December after she extended benefits to same-sex spouses of city employees who are legally married in other states. State District Judge Lisa Millard, a Republican, issued a restraining order halting the benefits before the city moved the case to federal court, where Woodfell sought another restraining order. Following a lengthy hearing on Thursday afternoon in Houston, Rosenthal denied the request.
Okay.
Which also, this is an interesting case that's going through. For those who don't know, Mayor Anise Parker issued an executive order that city employees who are married in other states would married legally in states where same-sex marriage was allowed would be recognized by the city.
Yes.
Which not only does she have these, you know, Pigeon and Hicks going after her, but also Attorney General Greg Abbott is arguing that, you know, you can't do that. So that's the case. Now is why things moving up.
She's the most powerful woman in Houston. She can do whatever the hell she wants.
And the feds and the federal judge said, oh, no, leave it alone for now.
Because
yeah. So until they're resolved, then apparently they'll still be issuing those benefits.
Yeah, because you know that's a weird thing. How do you you know? Because if you're not allowed to be married in this state,
right?
You know, extending benefits. It's an interesting question. I mean, if you're extending benefits to a same-sex partner, but you know, they're saying a same-sex partner. Does she mean people who are
legally married
in another state?
If they're legally married in another state, I mean,
she's recognizing their marriage as legit.
Well, see, the argument's going to come down to this part: is in this matter what trumps, state constitution or federal constitution?
Right.
Yes.
Because the state constitution has, you know, Defense of Marriage Act still enacted in it. And states that you cannot recognize, will not recognize marriages from outside.
Right.
But the federal government
constitution,
you know, DOMA has been stripped out of that because of the full faith and credit. And then also the full faith and credit clause of, you know.
I always thought that most of the time a federal, you know, almost always trumped state.
Well,
laws.
It's
a fine line.
Yeah.
I think the issue comes down to the fact is because this is not a power that is the recognition of marriage is not really defined as being part of the federal government's domain. It's considered a state's right issue.
Right.
So that's where the arguments are most likely going to come from. That is the fact that this is not a because it's not the federal government that certifies a marriage. It's the state level.
Yeah.
So
the power vested in me by the state of whatever and, yeah.
Yes.
Usually intoxication.
That's only in Las Vegas.
And certain parts of Arkansas.
Yes, well.
By the power of the Elvis impersonator.
Who just happens to be ordained minister.
Go figure, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was
that's going to be an interesting case.
Yes.
At some point. Anyhow.
In the first few seconds after a fire roared up the back stairway of the Neighbors nightclub in Seattle, which is a gay bar, it was firebombed on New Year's Eve.
Ooh. This place is called Neighbors?
Neighbors.
Yes. Yep.
With a U.
With a U.
Yes.
Yes.
So, Nay Bowers?
All right. Neighbor.
Neighbors.
Burr.
I'm sorry. Go on.
British. Neighbors.
Oh. Yeah.
Just like color.
U.S. Staff Sergeant Christopher Bostick was one of the few New Year's Eve revelers who reacted immediately. I'm embarrassed to say my first move was to go after it with cups of water. But then I quickly realized this fire is way bigger than that, he said. In the next breath, the Army intelligence veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan tours sharpens his tone, as if news of impending violence is to follow. You know, in 30 seconds, if that fire did what the arsonist intended, there's no telling how many people would have died. While 750 people counted down the new year, Bostic rushed to grab a fire extinguisher from behind the bar. He and Air Force member Mike Casey went to work putting out the gasoline-fueled fire. It was like the Carrie movie, Bostic recounted.
Oh, ooh, gosh.
You just see fire everywhere, and that's all you can see for a second, and that's what you're focused on. Bostic and Carrie tamed the flames filling the staircase after an arsonist poured gasoline on the carpeted stairwell from a plastic liter gas can, dropped the can on the top step, lit it ablaze from the bottom. If we hadn't reacted to it, it would have taken too long for someone to react, and the fire would have been unmanageable in another 30 seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
Ouch.
Fittingly, Bostic is a terrorism specialist.
Oh, boy.
And was dealing with an act of what terrorism. Could be considered terrorism.
Terrorism.
They have found the gas can. From reports, I have not seen where they have discovered who the person is who set this fire. The interesting thing is... A, you've got a fire at a gay bar. Uh-huh. And this report that I read from is from the Seattle television station, KIRO. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they're covering the story. Mm-hmm. And here they are actively profiling two military men.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who saved this bar because they were patrons in the bar.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And nowhere near did they mention the fact that if they were there because they just were looking for a good bar to go to, or they are regular members of that gay bar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, regardless, they're not going to be court-martialed for it now.
They can't be. There is that. Of course, I was also thinking of, okay, my brain was also thinking, was the fire a hate crime sort of fire?
Right.
Or was somebody just pissed off at somebody in the bar and decided to, go psycho and take everybody out with it?
Well, that'll be something that'll have to be decided once they find out who the person is.
Right.
It's just one of those details that comes to mind.
Yeah. Or an insurance scheme.
Well,
if you're going to do an insurance scheme, you don't take out the patrons.
You usually do that in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I was going to say
after the bar's closed.
You don't go for an insurance scheme and commit murder at the same time.
That and on top of all of that, you know that if they had planned it, Disco Inferno would be playing over the system
at the time it went up.
Right before.
Yeah.
Either that or burning down the house.
Or burning.
I just had to point out the one flaw. I couldn't help it. Where are the keys?
I was reading another article on it here. There was a very big drag show going on at that time.
What a drag.
One would say they were flaming.
Stop.
Oh.
Oh, stop.
Wow.
No, they were not flaming. They put the flames out. That was...
they were raging anyway.
They may have been raging, but they weren't flaming.
Okay, speaking of hellfire hell freezing over.
Uh-oh.
Too late. Boy.
Glenn Beck appeared on CNN several days ago and declared he stands with GLAAD.
What?
Yet another sign of the apocalypse.
Yeah, I was about to ask.
Let me clean out my ears. Can you repeat that again?
Glenn Beck appeared on CNN several days ago to declare that he stands with the gay and lesbian anti-defamation. I forget what the other A stands for.
Does not compute.
brain hurt.
Ow.
This is going to be fun.
What?
Against Russia's heterofascism. Beck said he would gladly stand with GLAAD in the fight against Russia's heterofascist laws criminalizing public homosexuality. Beck told the reporter that he finds it ridiculous that Americans were debating Santa Claus's race in a comment made by Duck Dynasty star, while over in Mother Russia, laws have criminalized public homosexuality, as well as a well-known TV celebrity actually calling for the burning alive of gay people.
So, one second. It's the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation.
Thank you.
So,
that kind of behavior,
not cool with it. where he lives, right, but anywhere else,
it's not cool.
Not cool, guys.
That's what I was
not
about
cool.
to say. I was like, wait, that isn't
the hypocrisy. It burns.
I knew that first statement sounded a little funny.
Yeah,
but now
Glenn Beck.
Wow.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Glenn Beck stands with us.
That's.
I hope he realizes what that means.
I'm not sure if I should be scared or happy about that. I'm pretty sure terrified,
yes.
But
I think yes would be a simple.
I will now be opening bets for when he's going to be coming out. 1 month increments,
or
starting now.
Or how long it is before his Fox contract?
Can I simply state for
he's
the
no
record?
He's no longer on Fox.
I don't.
Oh, he's not.
He left Fox a while ago.
I don't. He would be on the list of people I don't want on our side of the fence.
Yeah, Glenn Beck left Fox a while ago. He's doing his radio show and an internet television show out of his studio in his Dallas mansion.
No, this is all correct. The only Dallas problem I'm trying mansion. To remember was wow. it that he left Fox or did Fox let him go?
I think it was partial on both.
Okay.
I think it was.
That's
now,
he's
mutually,
coming
now,
out.
As far as the fact of him making this comment, mm-hmm. I looked at the great philosophical saying of, remember, a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yep.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
This is his twice a day.
Yes.
One of those two.
one down. Let's wait another 30, 40 years.
Must be a cosmic clock, because it could be another 40 years before he's right again.
Yeah. Just tear off calendars.
Yeah.
Now,
got it a year ago.
We need to check on this. There's a couple of different. This is a different story I'm hearing of this one here, but a lot of brouhaha came from the Tournament of Roses parade.
Ooh.
Specifically, the float for an AIDS foundation out in Los Angeles who had a gay couple get married on top of their float.
Uh-huh.
And when it got to the time for the reviewing stand. You may have heard that a gay couple got married on the float at the Rose Parade on New Year's Day. Three cheers for the happy couple, Danny LeClaire and Aubrey Lutz. But also boo to TV stations who cut away from the parade so they wouldn't show the wedding.
Really?
The wedding was performed at the review stand. Mm-hmm. According to some angry Twitter users who are never wrong... Quirky commentary.
Gosh. Right.
Okay. The offending stations include ABC, NBC, HGTV, and the local station KTLA. But wait! Quirky went back and checked KTLA broadcast. And in fact, the announcer makes a big freaking deal about the float. We don't know why the Twitter people were complaining, because not only did the station focus directly on the couple, but went on at length to see how nice the whole thing was. Uh-huh. There was nothing remotely questionable about it, so three cheers to KTLA and boo to Twitter, we guess.
Okay.
Now,
Revolution?
I had forgot to record the HGTV coverage because it was supposed to be without commercial interruption, so I don't know how you cut away at that point.
Well, a technical director is usually on them because they're in the booth directing which camera shot to take next, and they could have easily cut away to another float or another... Or the commentary or something.
Yeah.
And so I figured I would see video clips of the...
ABC?
Trees of Green Red
of the of the wedding. I hadn't seen anything about it. And I started seeing these articles popping up of it being them cutting away from it, supposedly. So.
I'm sorry. I missed that parade. I haven't watched that in years.
This is why Twitter is only good for porn.
I thought that was Tumblr.
Now, I use Twitter to keep up with my YouTube channels.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I use Twitter and Tumblr for.
And so I will be honest with you. I didn't watch that later on. I mean, I wasn't watching that parade. I was online trying to find an even gayer parade. And so I was...
There's probably one
slapping
out there somewhere.
Parade?
Mummers.
Yeah, there you go. The Mummers Parade. There you go.
Yay. Huh?
You see, that was romantic, though.
Mummers Parade is basically, think of a Mardi Gras-style parade in Philadelphia.
Right.
Ah.
With different skits also involved in it. So it's
very...
I think it's also the same day. It used to be the Hoodah Parade or something. And it was a...
Yeah.
The same rules of flashing apply, except down below instead of up top.
No, there's none of the flashing. It's more family-friendly, but it's just, it's all these
Labor Day weekend in New Orleans.
Okay. That, like,
instead of decorating a float, you wear these big, elaborate, feathered costumes that represent
massive.
A float.
Massive.
Oh, it's a drag show.
That makes
somewhat.
Sense.
Then other people have little magicians. You know, it's a lot of shtick and all that. And I got Pennsylvania nostalgic on between somebody making a comment of can't find the Mummers Parade. You know, he's complaining, you know, the Rose Parade is on 400 stations and can't find the Mummers. So I found it online for him. And then someone else posted a thing that resembled a certain food delicacy of Pennsylvania. And it's like, I needed a cheesesteak and a soft pretzel by the end of the day.
Okay. Let me be clear something. That parade, the Rose Parade.
No Mummers.
Is that broadcast on more than one station?
It was broadcast nationally on HGTV, ABC, and NBC.
Okay. All right.
And those are the ones that...
The same flippin' parade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. That's the thing that... Because ABC... Isn't ABC the same station that has the show Modern Family?
Yeah. Yes, but they're also owned by a mouse, so...
Yeah.
But in this case, it was a rat.
Yes, and let's not get started on how many gay folks and we all have know what created we do. Those
and
all those cartoons that
and
we
And NBC
love.
Is the same network that hired Rachel Maddow.
Yes.
And... I mean, we live in the age, we do at this point live in an age where it's almost poison not to have gay characters or gay people somewhere on your network.
Yes.
And they're going to flip away from a gay wedding. On it during a parade, really?
And, it's for the children.
And think that they wouldn't get caught doing it.
Okay.
That,
Have ya seen the Rose Parade? Children, my tookus.
Okay. It has come to our attention that during a press junket for The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, the trilogy's first film in 2012, gay wizard rights activist Sir Ian McKellen may have accidentally outed a fellow cast member. Whoops.
Oh.
The subtle slip came during an interview with Brash.de, a German website.
Web.
That asked several questions regarding McKellen's sexuality and the difference about being an out actor in 2001 when the first Lord of the Rings film was released and now. McKellen reflected on the question by comparing the number of gay actors in each film as a sign of the times. In 2001, he was the only gay actor in the film franchise. Today is among many in The Hobbit. The following excerpt has been translated via Google Translate, so we're prone to believe this may be just be a technical error. Mm. Brash. Still, there is hardly colleagues who follow your example, right, Ian? I would say it's been done in this regard in the last 10 years, the industry a lot. Just look only how many openly gay characters in The Hobbit were. Two of the dwarves, to Luke Evans, Stephen Fry, and Lee Pace.
Yep.
In Lord of the Rings, I was the only one next to it was my makeup artist and one from the wardrobe team. So once there's progress. Two of the dwarfs? That's strange because only one of the 13 actors who played dwarfs in the film is openly gay. According to the Lord of the Rings wiki, on-again, off-again gay, Luke Evans played a man, Stephen Fry a man, not really out Lee Pace an elf. The only openly gay actor playing a dwarf is Adam Brown. So who is the second gay dwarf that's gone unnamed? Which of these dwarves are drowning in the gay rumors?
I realize this is probably not that important because I just saw that movie and I wasn't paying that close attention to the credits. Which does it say which dwarf he was playing?
Who?
The gay one? The supposedly openly gay one?
I will see if I can find that for you.
Blake asked the same question.
I have an idea of which dwarf it is.
Oh, I have a few ideas.
I just want to make sure.
Tell us, Skippy, which
Adam
one do you think it is?
Adam Brown plays...
I think it's the one that offered him tea. I can't remember.
Ori.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Ori.
Yeah.
So, could it be Richard Armitage? The English actor has long been the subject of gay rumors and has loosely been linked with co-star Lee Pace. Maybe Graham McTavish. The Scottish actor has also been very loosely linked with Richard Armitage. Perhaps it's Dean O'Gorman, this Kiwi actor played gay once, and although there's no evidence suggesting he's a hardcore Mo,
We wouldn't mind adding him to our roster.
Who's gonna be my next husband?
I'd go for Armitage. He's got the blue hair, but not the blonde eyes. So we can, blonde eyes.
Wow. Wow. And blonde eyes, my kind of man.
Wow, and I thought I was the only one who'd only had 3 hours sleep in the last 48 hours. Okay.
Blonde eyes, huh? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So those are the kids from Total Eclipse of the Heart, right?
Or Village of the Damned.
Okay, our two final stories I have here come from the realm of the weird.
Ooh, go on.
One of my favorite places.
I thought we lived there.
Go on.
Have you looked around in the studio? Anyhow.
Wait. From Haley's homeland?
I do.
I'm waiting for this to read. Watch it, Skip. There we go.
She agreed.
Carrying a condom in New Orleans could get you arrested for prostitution.
Wait,
of course, not carrying one in New Orleans could get you something a whole lot worse.
Well, yes, but, true. But,
there's a scary new report out from Human Rights Watch detailing alleged abuse by the New Orleans Police Department. According to the report, police there have started using condom possession as evidence of prostitution. In other words, if they find a condom in your wallet, they might just haul you off to jail. They don't need to witness you doing anything. One woman reports that police searched all the trans people at a bar and arrested any who had condoms. This is a huge problem, obviously, since it means that people will be less inclined to use protection. In fact, the reports also documented an increase in condom use directly attributed to the harassment. Police in San Francisco, New York, Los Angeles, and Washington, D.C. are also reported to be using condoms as evidence against sex workers. But safe sex advocates are fighting back. The state of New York just passed a law banning the use of condoms to arrest sex workers. In D.C., the police seem to have renounced the practice. In New Orleans, however, there is no indication that the harassment will stop, and the state's rate of AIDS-related mortality is more than twice the national average. Legal reforms are needed to make harm reduction possible. In the meantime, if you're in NOLA, be safe, please.
I can't help but suddenly be reminded that, right, you know, after the whole Katrina disaster and the whole debacle of how so many of the police force seem to have vanished into smoke when they were needed most, and how many of them were found to be rather criminally inclined, that they don't seem to have learned yet. That it's like, really? Condoms in your pockets going, is a sign? Really? Seriously? People?
I want to not catch anything. Therefore, I have a condom. Officer, why are you stopping me? Yeah. You're a sex worker. What? I see that condom.
Know.
Wait, what?
And why are you checking their wallets for condoms in the first place?
That to me sounds like
one should never keep a condom in your wallet.
Absolutely.
But, yes.
Theoretically, that's a very bad place to leave to put a condom.
It sounds like they're just looking for ways to meet their quotas.
Yeah.
So if they make a happy little necklace out of them and just wear does that clear them then? Because it's not in their wallet.
I think then what needs to happen is come Mardi Gras and come Southern Decadence, that they start just throwing out tons and tons of condoms that everyone has and just start...
Just throw a bucket of them.
Yeah. Just, you know, if you get to the point where they need
obviously
to just...
Obviously their IQ hasn't raised there.
Like I was planning on doing at Pride had I not been working. Since none of the floats were allowed to, I was contemplating just taking buckets full of condoms and tossing them out everywhere.
You could do that at Louis.
We order condom packets for that.
Yeah, there's that.
Reminds me, I gotta send an email. Never before in my life did I realize I was going to be ordering condoms for 800. My mom will be so proud.
Boy, imagine the look on their face at Walgreens.
I ordered dinner for 500 and condoms for 800.
Wow.
That's a hell of an order.
This fat boy's got his priorities wrong. I just realized that.
I can't. Hey, it's going to be a very German meal. Lots of sausage.
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm hoping after paying for all of that, you got something out of it.
And there's going to be an English, twist to it, because then they'll be playing hide the sausage.
Picking a poke?
Yeah.
Actually, sausage is on the menu.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's good.
And beef and chicken, right?
There's the bratwurst.
Yeah. That's the same as last time.
All right, and our...
Wow, how do you follow that one up?
And a nice creamy sauce, too?
All right.
Moving on to
our final story tonight.
Gravy, anyway.
New pill will cure homosexuality in 8 sad, delusional months.
What?
I thought it was just a candy.
And at month 7, they'll be running off with all the profits.
That's Canada. This time we're going to Turkey. Those Turkish scientists, what will they think of next? Having come up with a cure for homosexuality, finally, the world is their oyster. Shuck away. Introducing Homofin.
Homofin?
Homofin.
Homophone? Because I will totally take the pill if I get to grow fins.
Sounds fishy.
A herbal treatment that leaves being gay up to you by influencing your hormones. According to GayStar News, the pill's site even encourages wary mothers to secretly dissolve it into their son's food should they suspect them of being gay.
Mom, why does this food taste funny?
It tastes better than an eternity not spent burning in hell. Now eat up! Did I mention queerty commentary?
I know!
Really?
Though clearly a crock...
Yeah.
The pill has prompted a response from the Psychiatric Association of Turkey, noting that it's a crock.
A big one.
Hold up. I want to know. How many churches bought shares in this before it was revealed as a crock? I want to know. That's my one.
We would like to share with you the information.
Mosques and
This is from the Psychiatric Association of Turkey. We would like to share with you the information that we took legal action and filed complaints with the relevant institutions such as the government, the Board of Advertisement, and the Public Prosecutor's Office concerning the so-called medicine Homofin. Homofin was put on the market through a website with the claim that the so-called medicine treats homosexuality. This unethical and unscientific practice considers homosexuality a disease and posed a threat to public health through the sale of a so-called medicine with unknown content.
Kind of like those pills they sell on TV, that make your junk bigger, apparently. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can advertise that right between one of those commercials and the juicers. Or those exercise things that actually just tear your muscles apart.
We want to emphasize that creating awareness in this community is as important as taking legal action to this kind of practice. Back to queerty commentary. The pill may very well be a joke since allegedly out of stock, but LGBTI News Turkey's Zeynep Bilginois is certainly not laughing.
Bless you.
Even if it's not a hoax, it doesn't matter. The existence of this kind of website is very misleading. It's making people believe there is a cure, which is damaging. He told, I'm pretty sure that people have clicked on the site to buy the drug. Even if it's out of stock, it's creating a problem. Whether the pill is fake or not, it should definitely take a cue from the original gay pill, the penis-flavored gay-away. Those queens really know how to package a product.
And snozberries taste like snozberries.
Now, it's...
Remember, if straightness lasts for more than 4 hours, please go see your doctor.
Or a prostate exam.
I'll give them that one.
Careful, they might find a head.
Yeah, but
that was a good one. That was a good one.
Nicely. Okay, I score one for the Haley.
Yes.
Yay.
Wow. Brokeback Mountain, the opera, will be premiering in Madrid.
When do tickets come on sale?
if the lyrics in 2 years, I will be the Joker, do not come out of that mouth, I will be sad.
Wait a minute. I'm almost this? Afraid to see the tent scene.
Where is this happening?
It will be the Gay Cowboy's Brokeback Mountain will change course and head east as an operatic adaptation of the movie will set in Madrid's Teatro Real later this month. New York City Opera originally commissioned American composer to write an opera based on the thrice Oscar-winning love story between two star-crossed ranch hands back in 2008.
Sorry.
Yes.
We talked about it before. I mean, here's, I guess, the two are the... Enos and Jack are played by Daniel Okalich and American tenor, Canadian bass baritone Daniel Okalich and American tenor Thomas Randall.
Okay, maybe it's just that I was working at a movie theater when that movie came out. I was over it then. I'm still over it now. Did we really need a musical?
No,
I mean,
an opera. Even the sex scene will be a song.
Whatever.
Okay. It'll just be one long note.
I know we're all gay.
Okay.
But
Haley,
musicals,
technically
really,
speaking, an opera is a musical.
I know we're all gay.
Higher,
but technically, we need this.
It's a highbrow musical.
Just highbrow. Really highbrow.
Expensive.
Expensive.
That didn't yeah. help.
I was trying. I actually went to the HomoFin website. And
I just want to know, really, how many cowboys have ever gone to the opera? Really?
Yeah.
I know they've been secretly fond of each other, but anyway.
Secretly fondling? What?
That too.
None of that.
Been to a gay rodeo.
Yeah, Google's not doing it.
I'm sure most of them have
been
to an
opera.
Opera.
Yeah, you might have a point there, yes.
Yeah. Google is not doing a good job of translating this because it asked me, this page is in Turkish. Do you want to translate it? Yeah, translate it. And nothing changes.
Have we tried turning it on and off again?
What are some movies that we wouldn't want revisited as operas now that Brokeback Mountain is one? Troll 2? I was going to go Deliverance, but I think you might have stole it.
I am suddenly reminded of the button that I did not get at the convention today.
Oh, which Lord.
Which simply said, epic fail.
Wow. Stuff's expensive.
How expensive is it?
Well, a bottle of...
Pray the gay away.
If I'm reading this correctly, a bottle of 30 pills of HomoFin is $60.
That's $2 a pill. That's actually not above average for, I mean, something of that odd nature.
If you get two bottles, it's a little cheaper. It's $110.
Mm-hmm. Two bottles of 30 still?
Yeah, I think it says it's the picture's a little difficult to read, but I think it says 30. It looks like it says 30 pieces.
We're doing the math for you. That way you can tell your parents you're praying the gay away.
You know?
Now, the best value on that is if you get four bottles, which is 389 Turkish lira, that's $179.
You know, there was a time when we used to, we would have called people who sell stuff like that snake oil salesmen.
Yes.
A charlatan?
They were charlatans.
Yes.
Snake oil salesmen. They traveled from town to town selling their nonsense. Today.
They're water in a bottle?
We can upgrade them to homophobic morons.
It's magic water, though.
There was also a day when Constantinople was the brightest city in the world.
Well, yeah, that's. Well, isn't
Istanbul.
That sad?
And Istanbul used to be Constantinople.
Yes, I know. That was my point in naming it Constantinople.
Yeah.
Constipated?
Well. If you pray the gay away, it might be.
That's maybe, nobody uses but the Turks. Anyway.
And to think that they're a country known for straddling two large bodies.
Yes.
Yes.
Every big man's dream.
Anyway.
They're Europe and Asia.
Yes.
I think it's that time, ladies and gentlemen. Are we still running?
No, we're getting close to the end of the show.
Yay.
Good night, kids.
A happy new year, everybody.
Happy new year. Yes.
Welcome back.
Oh, man.
Yeah, boys arrived in another.
You have not been the end of the world.
Damn Mayans. You've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Gallus, and 90.3 Livingston, always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. I'll be back next week, the premiere of Hot Artist in H-Town will be on. And our other usual groups of insanity to follow as well. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/afterhourskpft, as long as we're still there. Cross our fingers, hope so. Coming at the top of the hour is Zydeco Pas Aller. And if you want to find the entire schedule here at KPFT, go to kpft.org and check it out there. You can also get an archive of the show. Which more do I got to stretch for?
Minute 25. Four.
So find us out on there. You can also send us an email at afterhours@kpft.org. Snail mail is afterhours, care of KPFT 419 Lovett Boulevard.
LOVETT, love TT.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
We want to hear from you if you've got story ideas, love mail, hate mail.
Dirty pictures!
Those are the ways you can contact us. Once again, this is KPFT Houston.
KPFT is supported in part by the West University Baha'i Community. A moment for reflection. Strive that your actions, day by day, may be beautiful prayers. Turn towards God and seek always to do that which is right and noble. For more information or to find your local community, visit www.bahai.us, B-A-H-A-I.us, or call 1-800-22-UNITE. You're tuned in to 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Do you or someone you know own a local dining establishment? KPFT has a pledge drive coming up. And each drive, restaurants in the area feed our phone volunteers who give of their time to help KPFT reach its goals. Donations of food by these establishments are tax deductible and help community radio in the process. We also thank your establishment on air. Call 713-526-4000 for more information on how Houston eateries can lend a helping hand to KPFT. Ideal locations will be close to downtown Houston and be able to provide meals for 12 hungry volunteers. Again, that's 713-526-4000 for more information. This is 90.1 Pacifica Radio, kpft.org, twitter.com/kpft, facebook.com/kpfthouston.
KPFT, Houston.